Chicago Sports, spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hogue, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The Beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Good afternoon. 3:06 on a very busy Sunday afternoon in the sports world. I'm Mark Carmen. Great to have you alongside as we get the program rolling today. Pat Fitzgerald's on the show, the head coach of your Northwestern football Cats at 3:35. Sam Panionovich is in the studio today as Adam Hogue is with the Bears in Tennessee and Jared Payton is in his normal seat. Who watched the fight last night? Who was there? Sam, actually, I know you watched it because I watch you on Twitter like I watch a lot of things in life very closely.
I wish I was there. That would be awesome if I was at the fight in Vegas. I was not there. Did watch it all 10 rounds. I watched McGregor come out strong. You knew that would happen. You knew he'd come out strong. You knew Mayweather would sort of test him out, try and figure him out. And then when McGregor got spaghetti legs in the eighth, you knew it was going to end soon.
It was phenomenal drama. I really enjoyed. There was a moment where he thought Conor was going to do it, and then that moment evaporated.
Yeah, didn't watch it. I was going to stay up and watch it. My wife told me that she was going to fall asleep, so I decided not to buy it. But I know there's other ways of watching the fight, and I was going to, but having two kids, I passed out at like 10:30.
Well, you're a father, and you're entitled. Me and Sam living the
single life.
Yeah, I mean, we got to make it all the way to.
Well, not single. But
11.
Oh, okay.
Not married.
Not married.
Not married equals single. That.
Okay.
Until you.
She may be listening. You never know. You get in trouble that way.
Oh, okay. I don't want to get you in trouble.
Look at
that's
you,
the last
man.
Thing.
You already know the game already.
She's like, I heard that guy in the purple polo was saying you were single. I'd be like, look, we can't have that. You got your Cats polo on.
I went Cats polo.
Is that new? Are there still tags on that?
Fitz is on the show. No, I've worn it a couple times. Okay. But, you know, you don't wear a cat polo every day, so it does look new. I figured today, sitting here in the showcase studio with you two, I would rock a Northwestern. I want to know if you guys think that I should be perhaps under investigation, because I went to see Over the Rhine last night, outstanding band at Space up in Evanston. They're there again tonight. I highly recommend it. So then I'm coming on back. My buddies are at Kincaid's, which is kind of embarrassing to say, but my buddies were at Kincaid's. So I said that I would stop by and watch the fight. We get there. It was $10 to get into Kincaid's. Well, Kincaid's was at capacity, so I didn't get in. Now, and then I had the dog back home, had to take the dog, it was going to be, and the fight wasn't going to go till late, so we had the dog factor, went back, got Luna the dog. Now, here's the decision, do you get the fight, do you not get the fight? And Chelsea, my girlfriend, wanted to get the fight. I'm like, don't pay for the fight, it's not worth it. And so there it was on Twitter, sitting there. I watched the whole thing on Twitter, via Periscope, missed like maybe half a round where the thing, you know, dived out on me. Yeah. But so I watched it all on Periscope.
That's how I watch all my fights.
You didn't need to buy it. Should I be in trouble with some law somewhere?
You might have to go to jail, actually. you might be in the clink by 4:30.
Clink by, I mean, I figured I got out myself here, because why would you, see, this is great for the people. This is one, people complain about social media and how you can get attacked and the million things where you get the ADD builds in a 7-year-old, but here, got the fight for free, baby. Come on now.
It's a classic right there. You got to. I mean, it's nowadays, that's what people want, man. You just don't push too many hearts. That's what you don't want. Too many hearts gets the connection.
I was worried. There was a lot of hearts flowing on that
pair. You see a lot of people saying, stop all the hearting.
See, now, why would you take the risk if you bought the fight to Periscope the fight for everybody else who did it?
Because, I'll tell you why.
That's an FCC violation, I believe.
It really is, and I would never do it. But if it's out there,
I will watch it.
I'll watch it. But the fact is, you gain more followers that way on Periscope, so it kind of grows your brand, and that's what, you know, people might follow you, and then next thing you know, they're following you because they know that you're going to do that for the fights.
I paid $10 at a house party. I had a blast. I was able to see. I wasn't blocked by some obnoxious drunk. I didn't have any beer spilled on me, so I think that's the best way to watch a fight. I don't like to watch fights at a bar.
Okay, I'm with you. But I have to go back to Carm, because when people are watching these things on Periscope, they're asking the people who bought the fight, who were streaming it live, to like tell them what to do. Turn on a light. It's too dark. Tell people to sit down.
Oh, the commenters?
No, beggars can't be choosers, man. If you're getting it that way, you just got to watch it.
At the Karma on Twitter, I sat there peacefully. No complaints. Whatever you got, this is awesome. Thank you very much. If I had had a house party situation, I would have gone. I would have done it, Sam. And I actually did get. I did get invited, for the record.
I watched it sitting next to Domiti Pongo.
Did you really?
Our weekend news anchor.
I did get invited to the real Caps.
Oh, good Lord. Did you see the front page of the Trib Sports today?
Oh, yes.
The real Cap.
Four-page feature.
David Kaplan is our former WGN guy who was here for about 25 years, so I feel like we got to give him some love here. Front page of the Tribune Sports section, a 12-page piece by Dan Wiederer entitled The Real Cap. So congratulations to the real Cap. That's not many people get profiled in the Tribune, let alone a media guy who grew up in this town and has been doing it, you know, in every variety from writing to TV to books to whatever. So congratulations to El Capo. I should have been quoted for the piece. I don't know why Wiederer didn't call me. I blame Cap for not saying he should call me. I've worked with the guy more than probably anyone.
You picked Luna the dog over the real Cap?
Well, Luna the dog was in the city. I wasn't going all the way out to Riverwoods. I mean, that's a long way away from, you know.
Did you see how much money the fight is going to gross? Over $700 million.
It's unbelievable.
It's the largest money fight in the history of boxing.
Well, and I would like to hear from people. 312-981-7200. Did you buy it? Was it worth your investment?
Did you enjoy it? I enjoyed the hell out of it.
It was incredible.
I didn't have high expectations. And I talked about this all last weekend. I said, Floyd's going to toy with the guy the whole fight. It'll probably go the distance, but I'd be stunned if he didn't win. If they didn't, at the end of the fight, hold up Mayweather's hand, I would be stunned. Now, Floyd wins, 10th round knockout. But if you would have told me, JP, that Conor McGregor would go 10 rounds against a guy who was 49-0, I would have thought you were crazy.
I'm telling you. I mean, the respect level for Conor McGregor is through the roof and what he's able to do. And Sam, you pointed it out, and you said it right off the bat when I saw you this morning. You said, if Floyd had to be in the octagon, how long would he last?
2 seconds.
It wouldn't be that long.
Pretty Floyd would have been done.
Yeah, with all the kicks to the leg and all that stuff, to see Conor McGregor stand in there, go 10 rounds. I don't care if you just run around the ring. If you've ever boxed in your entire life, you know how hard it is. And for him to be able to take those licks and to get more licks on Floyd than Pacquiao did in their fight, to me shows that the man was doing his thing. He just didn't have enough power to be able to knock him out.
And he said afterwards that he thought the fight was close, and I did too. I mean, it was clearly trending that Floyd was going to win. But early going, I thought that Conor had the edge.
It changed real quick. And that goes to show you how important stamina is in boxing.
It's crazy.
If you're not as conditioned as you can be, you will literally, the light will go out. And that's what happened. In that 9th round, he got spaghetti legs. I call it spaghetti legs. The legs turned into noodles, and then he was holding up on the ropes, and then in the 10th round, Mayweather smelled the blood in the water, and it was over.
Which was what I was disappointed with Conor, because I know it's different, and he's used to fighting 25 minutes, and this was going the distance, or could have gone the distance, and he got tired. But the one thing you could control, I would think, if you're Conor McGregor, is to be in the best possible shape of your life, so that would not happen. There is no way he's going to out-condition me, no matter what his strategy is. Even if he's going to let me go at him early, I'm still going to be there at the end. And he was done.
Yeah, it was done, but he's not made up that way. I mean, your body is conditioned to be able to do what you're able to do, and trying to change that regimen is going to be hard, but to see that he went 10 is huge. You look at certain other fights with Conor back in the UFC with Diaz when he lost to him. His conditioning was not that good. That's probably the biggest issue for him, is being able to go those long fights. And, hey, you look at what he did last night, to me, I think it sets up for another number two.
Yeah, Floyd says he's done. He's said that multiple times in the past.
That dude's about to make some millions.
He retired more than Jordan did.
Yeah, come back.
He retired more than MJ.
The people want it?
They'll pay for it.
They'll pay for it. I mean, you might not pay for it. You'll watch it on Periscope, but someone's going to pay for it.
I'll talk about it. I'll be excited to see it. I'd watch it again. It wouldn't be the same as this particular. The first one was the best one. Because nobody knew exactly what was going to happen. That whole unpredictableness to it made it as crazy as it was. My favorite thing that happened before the fight The guy goes to the casino, waits in line with 400K to bet on himself to knock him out. And they wouldn't let him, they wouldn't take the bet because they didn't know if you could do the bet as far as just a knockout, not just a straight bet on Floyd. But he walked into the casino to make the bet on himself, which he does all the time, by the way. And he bets on himself in his fights.
Well, he tried to bet under 9.5 rounds.
And that too.
And he would have lost. He would have lost by a half a round. He would have lost $400,000 because it went 10 rounds. Over under on rounds was 9.5.
That's still. Oh.
But if he had the money in, he might have done. He might have gotten there a little quicker.
Yeah, he could have gotten there just a little quicker. Let me get you this straight right to the chin.
The dude went to bet 400K, which is what, $4 to him.
Well, all the big bets in Vegas. I talked to a couple bookmakers. The average McGregor bet in Vegas was $200. People like us walking up to the window betting on the dog. I'm going to get rich. I'm going to bet $200. The average Mayweather bet was $8,000.
AG.
Big money. The big money was on Mayweather.
Yeah.
All the big money in Vegas was on Floyd Mayweather.
The Maloofs who own the Kings who have...
Multiple $1 million bets.
They put $880 down, whatever it was in the 800s. And a lot of $1 million bets coming in. $1 million bucks.
Number two is going to be in the making. Why? Everybody's making money.
You've been saying that all day.
Why not, man? Make the money.
Yeah,
it's
but
crazy.
I mean, the money's still there. It's not going to be the same money, but there'll be a ton of debt.
It'll help him pay his taxes.
Right.
I mean, Connor
Has he paid those yet?
No. He asked for an extension. He wants to get the check from this fight.
But I'm still trying to figure out how, I mean, Floyd had money like that. I want to know how Connor woke up this morning kind of like, let me check. Look at that bank statement, man.
They were hugging it out after the fight.
They were like, dude, we set this up.
Well, one of the screen caps when they were hugging it out after the fight, it looked like Mayweather said, we rich.
We rich.
He did
say it. I saw
we rich.
Oh, he's right. Rich does not do it justice.
Wealthy.
Guess how much money Mayweather got on the front of his trunks. The waistline had a sponsor. It said Hublot, which is an Italian watch company.
Yeah.
How much do you think Hublot paid for that text on his waist?
$2 million?
$5 million.
$3.5 million. You're right in the middle.
$2 million to wear it on my...
They paid $3.5 million to get their brand on his trunks.
I'm wearing this Northwestern garb right here for free, for
you're
the
not,
record.
Yeah, you're not getting paid for that.
I wouldn't even want any money from the Cats. I just want to rep the Cats.
Okay, that's cool.
It's on me.
Free tickets every once in a while.
Pat Fitz is coming up at 3:35. We'll do a little Bears post. A little quick dive into that, and we'll do a deeper dive as Mike Glennon showed himself well enough today. That's for sure. He will be your starting quarterback. So the Bears game is in the books. Preseason game number 3. We'll do that coming back. Play ball. Celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribune.com today. Sam Panionovic in for Adam Hoge. Jared Payton's here. I'm Mark Harmon. This is The Beat with you till 6 on 720 WGN. -19.7 Bears, 2-1 in the preseason. The biggest preseason game of them all, the third preseason game, and they get the victory down in Tennessee. Mike Glennon, your starting quarterback, 11 of 18, 134 yards, one touchdown, did not get intercepted, quarterback rating of 102.5. Welcome to the Mike Glennon era. Is anyone excited? Go.
No.
It's so bad. JP's excited. He's all about, oh, we got shot.
I was looking forward to seeing, I mean, you talked about it, Carm. You said this is the third preseason game. You wanted to see how both these quarterbacks were going to come out, and with all the pressure on both of them. Listen, at Hallis Hall, just being there, everybody talks about there's no quarterback controversy. Yes, there was one. As soon as you drafted Mitchell Trubisky, you knew that there was going to be some issues. The problem is the Bears didn't think he would develop this fast, and I think that's what Bears fans are excited about, to be able to see the future. But I still, in my heart, believe that he will start. It's not going to be the start of the season, and I'm okay with that if that's the case.
My biggest fear is that they will rush Trubisky into a spot that he's not ready for. Now, coming into this season, he hadn't taken a snap under center since the sixth grade. He had been in shotgun all throughout Pop Warner, all throughout high school, all throughout college. He's learning how to take snaps, let alone learning an NFL offense, let alone learning how to read defenses. I think today was the best of both worlds because Glennon pretty much secured his start in week one, right, mm-hmm. with that 96-yard drive to open up the game. That was huge for Glennon. His confidence continues to climb. He has gotten better every preseason game, and we saw that 45-yard bomb from Trubisky. Dude. What a throw to Tanner Gentry, a touchdown pass, 45 yards. I think Glennon is picking up confidence, and Trubisky continues to mature. He gets better with every snap. I think both quarterbacks played well, and that's a good thing because when there's competition, usually everybody gets better.
See, I love that you just said that. I just wrote it into my presser that it's going to be on WGNradio.com tomorrow. Is competition breeds success, man, and I just truly believe it. Ryan Pace, like it or not, and looking at this team, he has created competition inside of that Bears locker room, and it's fun to watch. It just today, I think the hardest part is the injuries that happen. And when you have injuries, we know it's a part of the game, but to your number one receiver, Cam Meredith, I mean, torn ACL, this is – I'm hoping this is not going to play out like last season, because the one thing I've always said from beginning of training camp was this team could be better than they were last year if they can stay healthy. They just can't – they're going to suffer some injuries, I know that, but not to key players if this team wants to get 6 to 7 wins this season.
Well, that's the problem with today. You've got – well, first off, Cameron Meredith gets high load, and it looks like he's got a torn ACL. So here's a guy who's going to be one of your starting wide receivers.
He's their number one receiver.
He's their number one.
That was their best receiver.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, okay. I mean, I would say that they're basically on a pretty even playing field, but maybe it was going to be.
He has gotten over better every
over 800
year,
800 yards, dude, last season. It's not, that's not.
Okay.
He's their number one.
He was their number one receiver.
I mean, he's going to be your number one target. 800, that's almost 1,000 yards in the NFL for a dude that
without a quarterback.
A bunch of different quarterbacks.
Didn't even have a quarterback last year.
Plus, he did have help with Alshon being there, but, you know, I mean, that's just the nature of the game.
I was still skeptical that he was going to be able to step into that prominent of a role, but fair enough. Their number one receiver, torn ACL, done for the year, which is, you know.
There's nothing worse than having to watch the replays of a knee injury and then watch somebody get carted off a field. It is so depressing.
Yep, and that's the sport right there all day, right?
Almost cried.
Did you really?
Yeah, upstairs. I almost cried. It hit me because I really, truly thought that this was going to be the next step for Cam. Not saying he was going to be this elite player, but I wanted to see him have that confidence. And I just was about to tweet at the moment, right when he caught the pass, that if I've been at not every single training camp, but I've been at a lot of them and seen the connection between him and Mike Glennon, and that was the problem that, you know, I was about to tweet in, and look what happened.
And now we move on. We feel bad for Cam Meredith, but now, guess what? Somebody's got to step up, and I'm looking at Kevin White.
Everyone's looking at Kevin White, and that was the moment with Mitchell Trubisky, by the way, today, who played well again. He was 10 for 15, 128 yards, a touchdown, did not get picked off, and he had a little trouble managing the play clock as they had some delay of games that clearly they were not organized the way they need to be. So that was a learning curve right there. But the other thing is they were in third and longs, and his first series, it's third and long. He shows that he's got a cannon for an arm, and he puts it a little bit high, but hits the hands of Kevin White, who can't make the catch. Come on, man. Come on there, big boy.
Gotta have it.
You gotta have it. You're in your third year. You're a professional wide receiver. Now, granted, it's a preseason game. I get it. It's not something to lose your mind over, but, no, but come on, man. Make the catch.
Let me just tell you. This is third year. But when you look at him basically from college, I mean, this kid is still was going to be a project. And when they selected him, he had the speed, the raw ability with the size, but the offense that he came from at West Virginia, it just wasn't that complex.
And the defense is sucking that conference.
Yeah, so now he's going up and he never got a chance to really progress. And now this is another break. It's either make it or break it right here. And people are going to be looking at him. He was going to hope to have a guy like Cam Meredith who was going to be able to have, you know, double coverage. And we saw it, Sam and I watching the game upstairs. There was times where he was bracketed over the top with help. And so he's got to be a better route runner, which he hasn't really shown us yet. And that is probably one of the biggest issues moving forward at the position.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. We do have Fitz coming up right after 3:30. So if you want to talk Bears, hang on to that. We'll do it closer to 4 o'clock. But Just some other highlights from today. Jordan Howard back out there, 12 carries, 45 yards, looked good. Jeremy Lankford, who's had an ankle injury all camp, I thought looked better than his numbers, 5 for 18. He was running hard.
Yeah.
So the Bears have a ton. And you know, you barely – Tariq Cohen got one carry today. Yeah. Benny Cunningham looks like a viable veteran who could help you in odd spots.
Can't keep all of them.
Oh, you got a lot of guys.
Can't, and I think it would be different if we're, you know, talking about Kadeem Carey.
And Kadeem Carey's hurt, too.
So, I mean, that kind of opened up the door for Jeremy Lankford to be able to get back. It was almost perfect timing in a bad situation.
And we haven't even talked about this yet. It gets lost in all the conversation with the quarterbacks and the injuries. The defense held Tennessee scoreless for three quarters.
I keep saying that. Why don't people give this defense
this
no
front
credit?
Seven is mean. Akeem Your boy Hicks Akeem Hicks
is a monster.
Is shoving linemen all over the place.
Marcus Mariota was horrendous.
I know, but
he was horrendous.
He had pressure all game. They put pressure on the quarterback.
Jarrell Freeman is a monster. That dude can get 100 tackles with his hands tied behind his back.
Fitz coming right up. We'll do more Bears after that.
The Wildcats of Northwestern, Evanston, Illinois.
You're listening to The Beat on the home of Chicago's Big Ten team, 720 WGN.
Last year, the Pinstripe Bowl champions. This year, I will be saying the word Rose Bowl all season long. Not to put any pressure on the man who's on the line right now, but he can handle the pressure. He's been there as a player, going to take him there as a coach. Pat Fitzgerald, good afternoon. Welcome to 720 WGN. We appreciate the time as always, sir.
Great to be with you guys. Good afternoon. It's football season, baby.
Coach Mark has his purple polo on, the Under Armour logo on the left, the
Word
Northwestern
for you,
N on the right. He's ready to go. I know you're ready. What are you like leading up to a season? Are you antsy? Are you nervous? Maybe a little bit of both?
You know, you just get out of training camp, and you're ready to get in the game week, you know, just like the players. I think you're excited. You know, the anticipation of all the off-season work, and now – a chance to go into game week and get ready to go play and see where we're at. So the guys have had a great 3 weeks, and now we'll really turn our focus to Nevada here tomorrow morning.
Coach Fitz, Jared Payton here, and I know most people always want to talk about the quarterback, but you know I'm going to start with the running back, Justin Jackson, one of my favorite backs to be able to watch in the country and the Big Ten. What are you looking forward to seeing him do and take another step in his unbelievable career at Northwestern?
Well, Jared, he's a dynamic back now. He can do it all. He came to us from just an outstanding high school career at Glenbard North where he played for Ryan Wilkins and you know, was Gatorade Player of the Year in the state. Yeah, he hit the ground running, so to speak, right when he got into our program. It's amazing to think that he's a senior now. But, you know, really proud of him being elected captain and just to see the leader that he's become and it's been really impressive, and he's grown up so much and really looking forward to watching him have a fun season.
Let's talk about the captains, Fitz. One of your four is Clayton Thorson, who is a redshirt junior. So he's been around for 4 years, but he's a junior. It's rare that a guy in your program is a captain on the team, one of the four, when he's not a senior. What did Clayton do to earn that recognition?
Well, he's, you know, obviously quarterback. That gives you an opportunity to be – out in front of everybody every day, and he's just grown also exponentially as a leader. You know, I think going to the Manning camp this summer, working with Peyton really helped Clayton from a standpoint of taking that next step leadership-wise. And then, you know, three of our four captains are Chicagoland guys. Tyler Lancaster then from, you know, down in Plainfield. So it's great to have those guys along with Godwin Igwe-Buke and, you know, I think those four are really special players. They made a ton of big plays for us, and I look forward to watching them lead our squad this year.
Well, what was that like having Peyton on campus? I mean, I'm thinking about Tennessee and Peyton and the Cats, and there he is, you know, supporting you guys and helping out your quarterback, helping out the team, giving some motivational talks.
Yeah, it was great. You know, I've known him now, obviously, since, I don't know, he probably set a bunch of school records against us in Citrus Bowl in 97. You know, they had him and we had me, so you guys all know the outcome of that game. But he's just a terrific, terrific man, incredibly humble. The wisdom and just the education of our squad and our quarterbacks in particular on what he did from a preparation standpoint, just how meticulous he was in getting ready to play was just an awesome message, and I think our guys really took it to heart.
Coach Pat Fitzgerald with us on the beat here, 720 WGN. I don't know if you saw this, Coach. On ESPN, they put out a fan happiness index rating. They built this ranking: program power, rivalry dominance, coaching stability, recruiting trend, revenue growth, and Twitter buzz. And the Big Ten Cats are ninth in the country. What do you think of that?
Well, it sounds like I got some work to do.
You would say that, but the second best in the Big Ten, your fans continue to just fill that place up, and the movement's growing. I mean, there's purple all over the city, and that has to make you happy.
It really does, and, you know, just very thankful to the leadership of our great university, and, you know, there's no doubt we're on a trajectory that really our athletic department, and football in particular, really has potentially never been on, and now it's our job to go back it up with action, and really thankful for our fan support, and we had a great event on Friday night. We called Meet the Team Night at Ryan Field. It was packed. All types of Wildcat fans there hanging out with our players. It was awesome. And just looking forward to next Saturday at 2:30 at Ryan Field. You know, it's in the air. You know, to watch a couple games yesterday kind of made me jealous, you know. But the Zach Brown concert got me over pretty quick. But,
Favorite Zach Brown song. Go. Favorite Zach Brown song.
It's got to probably be Toes, right? I mean, you know, it's a pretty darn good song. But yeah, it was a great show last night, a lot of fun, and no doubt Wrigley was rocking too. So it was fun, and but now it's football season, and the guys are, like I said, they've had a great training camp, and I think we're ready to play. We got, you know, big prep day tomorrow, finalize kind of the initial game plan and go over that with the guys and a run-through, and then, you know, our heavy work days are Tuesday, Wednesday, put the finishing touches on Thursday, and away we go.
Coach, listen, I know you go take one game at a time. I get it. But from the outside looking in, playing college, I'd always look at the schedule. And Wisconsin, Nebraska, you travel there. The Minnesota-Iowa game at home, but you don't have to see Ohio State and Michigan. And I think just talking to a lot of people that this is a perfect season for this team to make a run. You feel that inside with this team that you have, don't you?
Well, I think there's definitely a confidence within the squad from the work ethic that they've put in. And, you know, we played an outstanding Pitt team in the Pinstripe Bowl. And the guys really, I think, took to heart getting our edge back, getting back to being a team that competes for a championship. And you know, we couldn't get a Big Ten championship, but we could be a bowl champion. And the guys really embraced that. And that was a great springboard then into the offseason. And, you know, I think our strength numbers, Jay Hooten and our strength staff do a terrific job. Our strength numbers, our conditioning, our execution so far. I mean, it's kind of unique with college football. We're the only kind of major sport that doesn't have a preseason. So, you know, you judge your execution in practice to hopefully be an indicator of the way you're going to play. And we've got great carryover and retention and really good execution. So I expect to see that next Saturday at 2:30.
So let's talk about your life here, Fitz. You guys got a $400 million in athletic building projects going on. You're going to have this sweet office with the best view in the Big Ten. You had to ask for, like, something a little bit special to be in there. I mean, can you sort of give us, like, what was that one thing that you asked for that maybe you wouldn't necessarily tell everyone, but maybe you could just tell us?
So I'll just tell everybody. Yeah. You know, it was really player-focused. The whole football aspect is all centered around our players. And, you know, from the flow of them walking in the building to world-class rehab, you name it. I mean, we talked at length and with numerous schools to see what they did and how they did it. But I wanted to have the players' lounge really be significant and special. And I think we were able to do that. And they're going to have a patio that looks out over the beach for the spring and summer and early fall months, that is going to be as cool of a man cave probably as there is in Chicagoland. So that was the only thing I really wanted, was a great location and a great area for our players to have a place to relax and call their own and almost have like an apartment. So that's going to be a really neat touch for them.
Oh, look at this. Hey, I still have 4 years of eligibility.
Hey, Coach Fitz, I'm telling you, man, listen, Miami said I still got another year eligibility, man. I could be a backup running back if you need me.
Well, you know, we weren't good enough back in the day to get you, man. So, you know, maybe now you could give us a look. But, no, it's good stuff. And, you know, it's an exciting time. You know, preseason's wrapping up here in the NFL. College football's kicking off. All of our IHSA schools got after it on Friday, and they're heading into week two this week. So, fun time. You know, playoffs are in the air in baseball, and, you know, obviously football is now getting ready to take off. So, fun times, and looking forward to representing our fans and our great university, you know, Chicago's Big Ten team, and making you all proud.
What's the coolest thing in your office? If I walk in your office, the one thing I have to see, what is it?
Well, I've got a lot of cool stuff. You know, it's kind of neat as a head coach, you get a lot of things sent to you and you get the chance to meet a lot of great people. Most proud of are the pictures of my family and our seniors. But probably one of the neat things, I've got a shillelagh when I was asked to be one of the honorary chairs of the St. Patrick's Day Parade downtown. That was pretty cool. But then we do a lot of work with the military, and we've got a really neat shadow box given to me from one of the Navy SEALs that we worked with, Chicago and Rob Stella. And Chief gave me the flag that he had with him on different battles, and yeah, he presented that to us before our game at the Gator Bowl, and it was something that still gives me chills when I think about it. So a lot of neat stuff. Just it's a great honor to have my role and try to have a lot of fun with it.
Hey, Fitz, before you go, what's your thoughts real quick about, say, Michigan going over and practicing in Italy and all the traveling that's going on to try to raise the profile? Do you view that in a positive way or something that just feels a little off?
Well, you know, everybody's got to run their program the way they see fit, you know, and obviously I respect the choices that, you know, my 64 other colleagues make at the Power 5 level. You know, for us, academically, you know, something like that, maybe, I'm not sure would fit. I would definitely never take a vacation period away from our players, you know, to have more practices or workouts. You know, I think that time that they can recharge and re-energize, and if not anything else, at a minimum, you know, get home for a couple of days and see family at a minimum, something I think is really, really important. So, you know, we take them to a beautiful spot called Kenosha, Wisconsin for training camp. And, you know, we get off just north of the Mars Cheese Castle. So I think that's enough traveling for our guys.
It's a phenomenal spot for your cheese, man. If people don't know that, you got to hit it up. All right. Hey, lastly, I got one more little request here. After you have your phenomenal season, I hope it ends exactly the way you want. Will you be making the trek to Rosemont this year to ride some officials and support Chris Collins and the Wildcats as they hopefully make their way to the Final Four?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. You know, I'm a fan before I'm anything else. You guys know that. I mean, you know, you cut people open and they bleed their alma mater's colors. And, you know, I'm a huge, huge Northwestern sports fan. And this was a lot of fun getting to be on the bandwagon last year. And it was really great to carry the momentum over into the winter. Chris and his staff and his young men have done a great job. And, you know, you look at the job that Emily Fletcher did with our golf team getting into a national championship last year. And Spencer Allen, our baseball coach, you know, getting our baseball program going into the finals of the Big Ten tournament. And, you know, just so many great things. Michael Moynihan, our women's soccer coach, winning a Big Ten championship. There's a lot of great momentum, and just honored to be those coaches' colleagues. And if I can support them in any way, I definitely try to do that.
The video last year in the tournament where you peek your head into the locker room and Brian McIntosh with the Cats are all turning around. There's Fitz, and you start screaming at him. That is just an awesome moment for Northwestern fans. It was so cool. Hey, good luck, Fitz. Thank you, always. Go get Nevada.
Yeah, we're going to need it, guys. Thanks. We're going to need it. Come out and see us 2:30 next Saturday at Ryan Field. We appreciate all of our great fans. Thanks a lot, guys.
We'll be there. Coach Fitz.
All right, thanks, guys.
Pat see Fitzgerald on 720 WGN. I love that guy.
I'm just going to tell you one thing.
Yeah.
I know he threw me out there saying that they couldn't get me. I don't know how I would have maybe lasted at Northwestern. Academics, little. I think that's what impresses me the most about how Northwestern has to go about doing this, and to see how Fitz has to recruit guys for that program, and then for them to be that steady, it's impressive.
Wait a minute, you're saying they're a little more lenient at the U?
Come on now.
Just a little more lenient at the U.
Oh, man. I mean,
man, you were in the bars. You were probably 18 years old in the bars at Miami.
It was a little bit different back then.
I thought I didn't want to make it awkward right there. I'm like, no way they recruited you. Did they recruit you?
Yes, they
did recruit you.
Yes, they did.
So you had the grades to get in there.
Yes, but I don't think I would have lasted. It's a little tough, man.
JP had the grays again in the Northwestern. I'm impressed. That's big time.
Yeah, the palm trees were calling me down in South Beach.
Well,
so.
Okay.
A couple of mojitos.
Right. Well, you could have played for Pat. Was that Fitz at that point, or was that Randy?
That was 99.
Okay, so it's Randy Walker.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all good.
I did take a look when I was in Vegas 2 weeks ago. Big Ten Cats to win the Big Ten, 22-1.
Well,
22-1.
Tall tale. In
my eyes, it's the Cats in Wisconsin in that division.
Oh yeah, in that division.
Ohio well, State. Of course, but you miss all the powerhouses on that side, and when you get to the title game, anything can happen. Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
First game of the year in the Big Ten. They're on the road at Wisconsin, so that's not an easy way to
start.
But
Wisconsin usually peaks late.
Okay. Hey, listen.
Hey, you just had the basketball team in the Final Four, so I can put the football team.
I got the football team in the Rose Bowl too, baby. Let's go. Let's do it. There's no reason to take any chips off the table right now. We're whatever today is. We're not even in September. I'm all in. All right, quick timeout. Let's get back to a little Bears post, and Cubs just got beat by the Phillies. Lose 2 of 3 to the worst team in baseball. That's not exactly the way you want to end up your weekend. 720 WGN. Good news, team. According to the text line, Mike Glennon talking after the game, he was very happy. Did not have the sniffles. I don't know if you guys listened to the show yesterday, but Glennon had some major sniffles at practice this week. Every time he talked, it was a sniffle and another sniffle. And you can't have your quarterback being a guy who's got snot falling out of his nose all day long.
I was at two of those practices.
Yeah.
And by the end of both of those practices on Wednesday and Thursday, it got cold out there.
Oh, it was cold.
It got really, really cold. It was weird. It would be hot and the sun would be out, and then it would just dip down in the temperature. So those guys were coming off sweating, so that's why the sniffles were there.
It's not like it went down to 50 degrees.
No, but it was cold. People were going to get wearing jackets out there.
Right, but we live in Chicago. There's going to be a variable temperature on the lakefront. If he's going to be getting a cold that easy, I think this could be a problem, Jim.
He'll only be here a year. It's fine.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
How many games does he start?
I don't want to tell you my thoughts.
10, maybe 10.
I know which week it is. Week 9, Trubisky starts.
Is that after the bye?
At home versus the Packers. Second Packers game here. He's going to start by week 9.
Yeah,
mark it.
Inside information on that?
Book it,
okay.
That is right around the bye week, isn't it?
He gets a chance to go up against the guy that I hear a lot of people comparing him to with certain traits. The flick of the wrist to number 12. His escapability, Mr. Number 12. I can't wait. This will be awesome. The city will be on edge.
The bye is week 9, and you just compared Mitchell Trubisky to Aaron Rodgers.
I didn't compare him. I said other people comparing traits that he has.
I'm feeling you.
Flick of the wrist.
Let's go all the way.
No, I can't go all the way.
How about the fact that if you watch the game today, on third and longs, you saw a guy who, oh my God, we might actually have a chance to pick up a third and 10, a third and 12, because he does have that elusiveness, can get out of the pocket, does have a cannon arm. I mean, there's some nice potential there. Whereas Mike Glennon, third and long, a bunch of them at least, he's throwing a 5-yard pass when it's third and 9.
Trubisky picked up one third down through the air, another one on the ground, both of them third and long. I love just to let him get out there and play. Like I said, today was the best of both worlds because I do think this team is still not talented enough to win, especially on offense. There's not enough talent there. Teams are going to stack the box against Jordan Howard. I expect a little bit of a regression there because he can't run through 8 guys, Jarrett. He just can't do it. And now Cam Meredith gets hurt. It's unfortunate. Kevin White, you don't know what you have there. I am totally down with throwing Mike Glennon out there, letting him get his ass kicked in the first 9 weeks. You hit the bye, and then you give the keys to Trubisky. I'm okay with that. And then we look ahead to the future. But this is like a leap year. We're in between stones here. The team's not good enough to win. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are still there. And the offense is just not good enough to compete right now.
Defense, though.
They're good.
Defense is pretty darn good, man. That front 7 is lights out. When they're doing it without a guy that you would hope to actually be in there in Danny Trevathan. And I think that makes them a lot better. But, yeah, I mean, there's still some question marks there. We saw, guys that are getting a chance to be able to play more. Kyle Fuller played a lot today as well. So there's things to be excited about offensively. I'm with Sam. They're just not good enough offensively to be able to make a run. So I wouldn't put the youngster out there right now. You have to be able to put more skilled guys around him for him to be successful. And they just don't have that right now.
So, okay, let's go back to that front seven. Leonard Floyd, everyone who's watching the Bears preseason is gooing over Leonard Floyd.
Best player in camp.
Right? Gooing, cooing, getting excited, feeling him.
Yes.
Hurts the foot today.
Out of context.
Hurts the foot today.
It was bad. I mean, it's just Meredith and Floyd.
He'll probably be okay.
The long snapper, Patrick Scales, looks like he has a knee injury. He walked out with crutches, a knee brace on his right knee. Amukamara was hurt early. Ankle injury.
I mean, he's been getting hurt this whole entire camp.
Ankles are awful for football players. Ankles never go away. Bad ankles are there. They linger all season long. So
tell me about it.
There was a lot of good things today, but a lot of bad, too.
Yep, came with the bad.
312-981-7200, the third preseason game in the books. I'm still
for what?
Looking for the first call at 312-981-7200. Of someone who's actually super excited for the Bears season. I got a guy that I'm looking at right now in JP who's feeling it. We put it out there last week. I know it's been tough. I know 3-13 was super rough. I know that expectations are super low. But there have been some positives that we're laying out here in the preseason. So I'm looking for that Bears fan who's feeling that joy. And I would like to hear it.
You need to hear from one of the Swirskis, one of the super fans.
I would love a Swirsky.
Hey, Bob! Yeah, you want to hear from one of those guys?
I do. I want an irrational, like, over the top, we're going to win 9 games, maybe 10, have a crazy season fan. I'd like to hear from that guy.
This sounds crazy to say. If they win 6 or 7 games, that's a good year for them.
That's it.
Out of three wins last year, if they win 6 or 7, that's a good season.
6-10 is, I'm not going to allow it to be a good season.
That's a good season,
for
though,
them,
big picture-wise.
For them, it's a good season.
I mean, Phil Emery got this franchise. He completely got them of talent, and Mark Trestman couldn't coach, so they were in the cellar, and now they're on the way. They're trying to climb their way back out. If they win 6 or 7, by all accounts, in my opinion, that's progress, and that's all that matters.
John Fox keep his job on 6 wins?
I hope not.
Okay. There's that side, too.
I don't think so.
Let's get into news in 2 minutes. 720 WGN.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago Sports Spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
407, The Beat. Coming up, Hulk, the Incredible Hulk, Lou Ferrigno, 535, will be here. As I talked to Lou, because he was in town for Wizard World. I know, Sam, you're super excited for my discussion of how I'm going to become as manly as Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah, right.
So, all right, Sam, Lou, you know, he's the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, you would need doses of HGH.
Doses.
I mean,
And it's expensive. I don't know.
I was going to say, how'd you know the prices over there?
Just had a conversation with some people.
Oh, okay.
You've been having a lot of those conversations today, huh?
It's out of my price range.
Oh, okay. Jared
and
Payton.
If I was going to take it now, it shouldn't be any issue.
Well, no, your playing days are over. Yeah. There's no need for you to take it now.
I can get cut up. I'm going to look fresh.
Jared Payton, Sam Panionovich.
You've got this grin on your face. What are you trying to get at here?
So okay, here's today. Today, Sunday, 10 a.m., Game one of a 3-lot for the softball championship in Lincolnwood. Okay?
Okay.
All right? Get out there for game one at 10. Easy winner. No problem. At the Carm, leading off, getting it done. We have a ridiculous team out there. I mean, we're stacked. If I struck out 4 times, we're winning games. But okay. Win game one. Game two, semifinals. You get a victory here, you're into the finals. That's how these things work. No problem. Victor in game two. Now it's almost 12 o'clock. The Bears game is starting. I'm a professional radio host. I'm going to be here with Sam Panionovich. I'm going to be here with Jared Payton, Dan Long producing the show, 720 WGN, the home of Steve Cochran, the home of Ro Khan, Todd Manley, program director.
Oh, boy.
Am I, at that point, supposed to play in the championship softball game, or do I need to leave the field get to a TV as quick as possible and watch the Bears game so I'm prepared to talk to you guys. Now, as I've laid out, Bears enthusiasm, Bears number one team in this town historically, but has been down. I don't think a lot of people actually took a lot of time out of their day to watch Bears football. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. But what is the I made the decision.
If you left your team hanging out to dry, I'm going to slap you.
Okay, there's a variable.
Yeah.
We did have 11 guys.
But you're the leadoff guy. The leadoff guy leaves his team to go watch a preseason football game?
The leadoff, well.
Did you leave?
I left.
Oh.
Are you serious?
I left.
What?
They're like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm hosting at 3. I can't not have seen the Bears game to be here.
See, he's a tennis guy. Tennis people are selfish.
That is How's true. That?
Well, tennis people are the most selfish people ever. They're all about themselves, and you left your team in a championship game to watch a preseason football game.
To do my job, yes.
Oh.
Wow, legit upset there. 312-981-7200. Did I make the right decision in respecting my gig over the softball team and my buddies? Who, by the way, won. Does it matter what happened in the championship game in your world over there, Sam?
Yes, it does.
Okay, they won the game. Convincingly. Well,
they didn't need you.
And I think that the best team that we played today was actually in the semifinals. But I was handicapping. But if we were playing the best team coming up in the finals, I was still leaving. And if we had lost, I'd still feel like I made the right decision.
I'm going to tell you that I appreciate you for all the hard work that you put into this show. Because as much as I would like you to be there, it sounds like that they didn't really need you. But I need you to be able to run this show. So for you to do that for Sam and I... Thank you so much.
Well, and
but I also do know something else. I'm never picking you for my team because you'll probably just like leave on me if something ever happens.
Well, there was one
if you'll leave for a preseason football game, you'll leave for just about anything.
That's true. That's why I got to take care of number one here. 312-981-7200. Was it the right decision?
To leave
softball to go watch Bears preseason football, and have I gained more respect with you by doing so, or less? Apparently with Sam, I'm getting less. But I thought that this was the right move for the show. I'm a little disappointed that you're not saying, great job, Carm. Way to go. Way to be there for the show. I mean, I don't get to fill in a ton. I wanted you to be on your A game today. I wanted you to have all the angles to present to me, to lay them up for me so I could just dunk them down and crush radio. I thought you'd be thrilled, Sam.
How many championships you won in your life?
Many. Many.
Oh, so this doesn't mean anything to you?
Not really, no.
Okay, all right. Well, that's fine.
I mean, it meant something to the team. There's a text chain going around right now. Everybody's celebrating. Carm was out the door. 312-981-7200. Also looking for any excitement out of Bears fans. A lot on the table here for you. John, welcome to WGN, man. What's up, John?
Hey, I'm excited. I don't think they're going to, one loss. I don't see more than 6 this year, but I think I'm just excited in general because I've been through the worst. I've been to the depths. Cade McNown, Salon, Benson, I mean, you name it. We've sat through one of the worst Bears draft picks in the last 20 years ever. And here we have some life, you know?
What are you most excited about, John?
Quarterback. I like the fact they have 2 decent guys in quarterback and they seem to care about the game. I mean, we sat there at that sourpuss color for the last how many years? And watch him really go through the motions. I mean, how could he not be excited?
I'm with you, John. I mean, you got to have hope with these quarterbacks. And just for a city and organization that has been starving for a franchise quarterback to see what Mitchell Trubisky's been able to do. He's shown that he has those traits and hopefully that he keeps progressing and that we get a chance to be able to see all of those fruits sprout off of those branches, man, because he's got an arm. He's got everything that you want. He just needs more reps, and the more that he gets the more he's going to get better.
Did you see what numbers?
I hope the coaching staff doesn't ruin it, first of all, because Fox, this is probably his last year. I would assume.
Well, Fox doesn't even put his guys in position to throw the ball. I mean, they're going to still run the ball 65-70% of the time. My biggest fear, John, is that, and I don't think actually John Fox will do this because he wants to win now and he knows Glennon gives them the better chance to win long term. My biggest fear is that they throw Trubisky into the fire too quickly and he burns. That would be the worst case, to have a young, promising prospect have his confidence shattered in week 2 or 3. That'd be the worst thing possible.
But let's go over young – and, John, appreciate the phone call. Let's go over young quarterbacks who have stepped in and have been successful almost immediately. I mean, that list is pretty long, right? I mean
– I don't know if it's that long.
We see it all the time, but – every guy has a different situation that they're coming into, though.
Jameis Winston, successful early. Marcus Mariota last year had a pretty good season.
Well, Winston didn't start. Glennon, he took the job from Glennon.
But I think
very early. What was it, third game?
The only difference between a lot of these quarterbacks we're talking about is experience at the college level. I mean, most of them, Jameis had years to start, won a national championship, had a Heisman, all that stuff.
That's so true, but I mean, how much is he going to learn sitting there? I mean,
the only way he gets better is being on the football field.
Russell Wilson comes right in, starter, kills it.
Yeah, but he came in a situation with a defense that was like...
You don't like the Bears defense?
I do, but it's not that... Seahawks defense.
I mean, it's just very rare nowadays that you go the Aaron Rodgers, wait 3 years, we're out, sit behind Brett Favre, whoever. That just doesn't happen anymore.
So do you think that Dak Prescott is...
Dak Prescott's another
successful
guy.
Here in Chicago like he was
not
in,
like that, but
Dallas?
Dak Prescott had the best offensive line in football last year.
Exactly. And a running back that was the best running back in the NFL.
But keep naming names. Teddy Bridgewater was a guy that people didn't think was going to have immediate success, and he ended up... doing pretty damn well up in Minnesota before he got hurt, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, right. Most guys come into the league now and they play right away. I mean, how long do you want him to wait? If I'm John Fox and I'm trying to save my job,
which he is,
why wouldn't I want to have the guy that's going to give me the best chance to win?
Because he trusts veterans. He's always been that way. He's not going to give the keys of the car to a young kid.
Carm, you and I talked about this last week, man. I don't think it's his decision.
Well, but it can be. He's the head coach.
He's the head coach. Hey. But this is a different situation when you're drafting a guy. This is Ryan Pace's guy. I think it's got to go higher than him to be able to make – it's got to go through channels. He can't just go, you're the starter. I'm going to put you out there. It's not like that.
So you're telling me that John Fox, in an effort to save his gig, is sitting there having these conversations with Ryan, and then he's given that message because he's kissing up to Ryan. This is what Ryan wants. And even if he knows deep down that this guy gives me a better chance to win, which I would think any rational person watching these two guys play quarterback would come to that conclusion.
I don't know if he gives you a better chance to win. There are so many up and downs with a rookie. I mean, you saw it today. There was that one drive. We were sitting there watching it.
Botched snap.
He muffed the snap. Then he almost threw an interception. And then on fourth and two, he didn't get the play in quick enough. And there was a delay of game. Fourth and one turned into fourth and six. Then they had to punt. There are ups and there are downs with young quarterbacks. And I'm telling you right now, you can't throw to Kevin White. Like, Kevin White's your number one option. How is Mitch Trubisky going to succeed when Kevin White is your number one and Victor Cruz, who is a shell of his former self, as your number two, with a shaky offensive line?
Things just stop. Sam, stop.
I mean,
you're just making like my heart hurt.
He's not in a position to succeed right now. They need more talent.
The wide receiver position was already the position that had the biggest question marks in
Tanner Gentry, by the way, the rookie out of Wyoming, is looking pretty solid.
Dude, he has shown to be able, like, deep threat potential to go and locate the football. He's done it all in camp. I like him.
If it's me, I'm getting up there and I'm saying, look, we lucked out in having a number three overall pick, and we were risky, or we wanted to make absolutely sure that we got Mitchell Trubisky, and we did, and he's coming to training camp, and he's been great, and we think that he's the future, and I'm not saying it's going to go super smooth this year, but we're extremely excited, and we want to have him on the field as soon as possible, and that starts with week one, bang, we're against the Atlanta Falcons. Let's go. I think even if he has a bad season, there's an easy way to explain that. He's a rookie quarterback. I mean, they're going to have their up and down looks. They're going to be up and down, period. All right.
I want a high draft pick. Play Glennon.
Well, that's okay. Then they're trying to lose.
Then you take a receiver because you don't have any.
Diane, welcome to WGN, 312-981-7200. What do you got on the quarterbacks, Diane?
I'm just referring to your conversation a couple of weeks ago, and I wanted to say, Mitchell got it done.
Yes, he did.
Mitch.
Mitchell Trubisky. Mitchell.
You got it. I agreed with you. Not Mitch. Mitchell.
Well, and we tried to get Rick Morrissey on the show today, who wrote the column and picked Mitch over Mitchell because Rick apparently has been drinking or something. I don't really know. He's on vacation, so he wouldn't come on today. But clearly we were out in front of this, Diane, and you as a listener to the beat, you're in the know because of that. So congratulations.
You got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And go Mitchell.
Go Mitchell. Were you listening to that show there, Sammy? I'm guessing not. Nobody.
Mitch versus Mitchell? Yeah, I heard
it. It was unbelievable. It was radio gold. Mitchell. We should win something for that.
Mitchell.
It's Mitch.
It is Mitchell.
Like, right, and I'm Samuel.
Right, but his mom wants him to be called Mitchell. The Bears are calling him Mitchell. They put out on their website, happy birthday, Mitchell Trubisky. I'm driving in today listening to the fourth quarter because that was the position I was in. And Jeff Joniak, Bears play-by-play guy, Mitchell Trubisky back to pass. Mitchell, Mitchell, Mitchell. It is Mitchell. It's coming out of the Bears. Mitchell.
Hey, whatever you want to call him.
So clearly the Bears have been listening to the show.
No.
You know for a fact?
I know for a fact.
You're all in the know over there. I feel like if you say it.
I'm getting in trouble over here. I'm just going to be quiet.
Mitchell Trubisky is who I would start week one, and I would call him Mitchell. Hey, this week on Chicago's Best, who's on that show, Jared Payton?
My sister, Brittany.
Yeah. Curious about the ins and outs of the Chicago-style hot dog. Sam, what's your best hot dog? What's your favorite spot?
Come Skyway on. Dogs.
Where's that?
It's off the Skyway on the way to the east side, God's country.
Really?
Yeah.
It's aggressive.
We could say Gene and Jude's.
I've never been to Gene and Jude's.
BB's?
Haven't been to BB's either.
BB's isn't in order anymore. That was Mike Norsell's place.
I like, I'm a big fan of Portillo's, which is terrible. I like Jeff's over on Cicero by Irving Park. Anyway, don't miss, and my favorite is Colonel Mustard's Last Stand out at Ryan Field in Evanston. Double cheeseburger, hot dog, milkshake, fry. Yes, sir. Back to the read here. Don't miss a special Chicago's Best, Making the Chicago-Style Dog, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. Adam Hogue from Tennessee coming up after the 4:30 news right here on 720 WGN.
You know, obviously, Cam was a huge part of our offense. You know, I'm pulling for him, but guys just have to, you know, step up. Unfortunately, that's sometimes the reality of football as guys go down, but I think what kind of talked about is we have a deeper group of receivers and a lot of guys that can play. So a lot of guys just, you know, there's an opportunity for someone in that room to really go grab that new spot.
That's Mike Glennon, your Bears starting quarterback, talking about the injury to Cameron Meredith, which hurts. Adam Hogue will be with us after the 4:30 news on 720 WGN. Sam Panionovich in for Adam. Jared Payton's here. I'm Mark Carmen. 312-981-7200. Cubs lost to the Phillies. Still 2.5 games up, but Brewers are beating the Dodgers right now 3-0. If that score holds, long way to go, but if that score holds, that would mean that the Brewers took 2 of 3 from the Dodgers, the best team in baseball, and the Cubs lost 2 of 3 to the Phillies, the worst team in baseball. Now, all this probably doesn't matter at the end of the day, but I'm sorry, you don't want to be going into Philadelphia and losing 2 of 3 to the Phillies.
The worst team in baseball.
Worst.
I know this wouldn't cross your radar, Carm, because you don't care about us on the South Side, but Lucas Giolito.
That's rough.
7 shutout innings, only 3 hits given up. He was awesome today, and I know you don't care, but
I care.
He looked awesome. We were watching. We had double box. We had the Sox on. We had the Bears on. Giolito, a piece of this future. The Cubs, they were losing the Phillies. We didn't care.
We knew already.
They were already down 6-3 in the eighth. It was over.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they struck out. How many times did the Cubs strike out today? They struck out 14 times on Friday. How many times today? Let's see. Only 4 today. Not bad. It's actually a pretty good game.
See, you're going all at me like I don't care about the Sox. You just got this Cubs hate just flowing.
They've lost 2 of 3 to the Phillies.
It's rough.
It's okay. They're still in first place.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. But let's maybe bring up, you know, a nice start on the South Side maybe every, I don't know, maybe once a month.
Listen, hey, I'm the White Sox rebuild.
Hey, give them
an A. They've been fantastic. They're going to be in the World Series in 2020.
I thought in this three-hour show I would try and get Lucas Giolito's name in here at some point.
Okay, but you don't got to make it out like I'm like some anti-Sox guy.
You're just a Cub guy.
Growing up, I was an anti-Sox guy, but then I worked at the park.
Yeah.
And then I became a media guy and got to cover the White Sox some. Was there in 08 in the blackout game on the field when they beat the Twins. Interviewed a Nick Swisher. Had a drop of rapport with Pauly Konerko, have appreciated the White Sox from that standpoint. I think Rick Hahn is phenomenal at his job.
Question
They're
for
not,
you.
But no one's interested in White Sox baseball right now, minus the but the Giolitos of the world, which is incredibly cool, and I'm glad he pitched well.
I wouldn't say that. I feel like the Twitter buzz is it's heavy Cubs, but it's still White Sox fans are there. And the what I love most about White Sox fans, still check you. Like we'll check you.
I'll check you any day.
I'll check anybody with a Moncada jersey on, and we started talking, and certain things that I said, he just checked me right away. And I love the fact and see the passion for what the future could hold for that ball club.
And Rick Hahn has just bought himself time. This is Carmen, and you know this is true. This is 2013, 2014 Cubs when you're watching the minor league box scores.
Yes.
And you're watching Eloy Jimenez last night, three more hits, including a bomb, a home run that went about 420 feet. Rick Hahn has bought himself time, and he can do no wrong until some of these prospects don't pan out. He has bought himself nothing but time, and to see a young piece of the future go 7 shutout today at home, pretty cool thing.
Well, they had assets that the Cubs didn't have, and they were super aggressive in making the moves. Well, they were. It took them a while to finally get there, but once they got there, they've been trading everyone under the sun. So
I'm just saying, Giolito pitched a great game today. I thought I'd throw that out there for the Sox fam. You know, I mean, there are some of them around.
Are you worried about a Yoan Moncada?
He's got shin splints.
I understand.
You had shin splints?
Yes, I have.
It's painful, man.
They're brutal.
It's horrible.
It's not great for a young player. You also have just a little thing out there. I would recommend checking out who Yoan Moncada follows on Twitter. I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Oh, Moncada, his follows? He just follows models. That's all he does. He just follows models.
I'm just saying.
All day.
I mean, that's cool with me.
That's what he does.
Hey, do what you got to do.
Slide in the DM all day.
Just slide in the DM.
Do what you got to do.
Mitchell. Trubisky on the face, going to let it fly deep. He's got a man, and he's got himself a touchdown. Tanner Gentry, 45 yards and a strike from the number 2 overall pick.
.720 WGN. Bears 2-1 in the preseason. What are you laughing at, Jared Payton?
Nothing I can say on the air right now. I love what we just talked about when we came back from break.
Okay.
That was awesome. Okay. Yep.
I'm disappointed in what transpired today, as far as I was hoping that Mike Glennon was going to really be terrible and we could have had a real quarterback controversy, but that's not going to be the case. Something's going on with Adam Hogue down there. Dan Long is working hard to acquire Adam Hogue down in Tennessee.
Let me give this stat real quick. And I've been saying some things about the Bears. I don't think they have enough talent, and that's my opinion.
No one thinks they have enough talent.
Right. The first half scores, though, and Hogue tweeted this out. I saw this during the game. Jarrett and I were watching it upstairs. The first half scores in the third preseason game the last 4 years. And the third preseason game is the one that matters.
Yes.
Of the four, it's the only one that matters. In 2014, at halftime, the Bears were losing to Seattle 31-0.
It was like, and it felt like 800-0.
In 2015, the Bears were losing to Cincinnati 21-3. Last year, halftime, preseason game number 3, the Bears were losing 13-0. So 3 points in 3 halves of football 3 years in a row. This year at half, they're up 12-0. So again, it's the assembly line, Jarrett. You don't have the car all the way done at the beginning. You get different pieces as you go along. And this football team continues to add talent. And that's the plan here. That's all they're trying to do, add talent. They know they're not going to win this year.
No.
But you allocate the pieces you think can help you long. Like Charles Leno, one of the only good things Phil Emery did right.
People still don't like it. They don't like the fact that he got the extension. I think it's reasonable for a guy in for his position and just kind of his resume, that I think it's pretty good. He's going to be a building block for the future. The offensive line has to get better. I think the biggest question mark as we head into the season is about to be here is how healthy is Kyle Long? It doesn't seem like listen to John Fox before saying that there's no timetable on when he can come back. That's a big issue right there.
4 years, $38 million for Leno, a little bit over 20 guaranteed, which is less than market value for a left tackle. I thought it was a smart move for Leno because if he gets hurt, you're playing football. You saw 17,000 guys go down today. Why not lock in financial security for life? This was a seventh-round pick who hadn't made the big football money yet. So I thought it made sense for the Bears, made sense for Leno, and they got it done. And whatever, it's an offensive lineman. He's fine.
Whatever. It's only the blind side for your quarterback.
I understand.
Whatever.
I understand, but it's like, you know, I can't get all hot and bothered on what the Bears do on their O-line. I thought it made sense. And your Kyle Long stuff, did you notice at halftime today they were all in the Jay Glazer bus, whatever thing?
Yeah, saw it.
So Long walked in. I didn't like his stride walking into the bus. He didn't look good to me. Just had a couple steps. It was an off step. And then you see John Fox getting in the bus, and he's being all playful with the dog, and he's making jokes at Jay Glazer. Why can't he, you know, be playful with an Adam Hoge? Why can't we get a playful Fox when he's talking to Hoagie? Adam Hoge joins us now from Tennessee, covering the game. Why can't Fox be playful with you like he is with Jay Glazer, Adam Hoge?
Well, he is. It's just never when the cameras are on. That's what Fox does.
Can you go undercover recorder in your pocket when he's being playful, and you don't have to tell anybody, just play it for me?
No, I think that would be against journalistic ethics, and I don't play that way, even for my buddy Mark Harmon.
That's rough. So, banged up Bears, Hoagie. Not a good day as far as the health, right?
Yeah, today was rough, and, you know, just having a conversation with Zach Miller a little while ago, I just tweeted this quote out. He said, "It's the unfortunate part about preseason football, because Cam Meredith was an important player for the Bears, and Zach Miller just simply said it sucks, and it does. But it wasn't, you know, Cam Miller. We get into that. It's most likely an ACL. I'm worried that it's worse than that because it looked worse. It looked like potentially multiple ligaments, and then that's when you start worrying about." Him even being ready for 2018. And that's a big loss in a room that already was probably the weakest positional room on the Bears team. So you worry about that. And then there's you've got a long list here. Patrick Scales, long snapper, right knee, probably ACL torn. Sherrick McManus hurt his hamstring. Leonard Floyd hurt his foot. I think that's minor, though, so if there's any good news out of that. Dan Scuda suffered concussion. And then Prince Amukamara, man, he has looked good when he's healthy, but he's had multiple injuries already in camp, now has an ankle. He was in a boot after the game. He only played one play today. That's coming after the hamstring. So it's Kyle Fuller's going to have to step up if Amukamara is not ready for the season.
Yeah, it's to watch Kyle Fuller. I was just talking about him earlier, Hoge. He's getting a lot more time out there at corner, and I think so far – you look at just his progression in this camp. He has stepped up just a little bit, but he's going to have to take the next step. The quarterback situation coming in was everybody was talking about 8 against number 10 and trying to figure out how this was going to play itself out. That first drive, were you impressed by looking at 15 plays right there to see them go down and score a touchdown with Mike Glennon? That was a way that I didn't think they were going to start out. They did and showed offensively they can move the ball.
Well, I think what you were able to see today is a more fair assessment of Mike Glennon. He mentioned this after the game, and I think it's fair for him to bring up that, you know, the game plan this week, and it makes a difference. Now, I also don't think Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are struggling when they're not game planning. But for a guy like Mike Glennon, who I think obviously has some limitations, there's a ceiling to his game. It makes a difference when you can put work in during the week. The Bears were running scout team stuff all week, actually preparing for the Titans defense, simulating a real game week, doing game install, and then coming out with a scripted first drive there that, you know, had been rehearsed and that they knew they were going to run when the game started. I'm not sure they knew they'd be pinned back at their own 4-yard line. But that just made it even tougher and more impressive that Mike Glennon was able to lead him down the field. Kendall Wright came up with 3 first downs on 3rd and longs, which you like to see, especially with Cam Meredith going down today. But look, both of these quarterbacks I thought played well today. Trubisky was slightly better when you look at the numbers, but he was also, most of that, those numbers came when he was with the backups. When he was out there with the ones, he struggled a little bit. And I think you saw a guy who is still picking up the offense. You know, they had to call timeout, and then a few plays later, there was a delay game on a crucial 4th and 2. And that's the kind of stuff you can't have happen. So here's my takeaway. Bears fans should just be thrilled with what they've seen from Mitch Trubisky in the preseason. I'm assuming it's done. We don't know if he's going to play Thursday night or not. I would suspect not, but we don't know. But if it's done at this point, just be happy from what you saw from your second overall pick. I don't think his preseason went as well as it possibly could have. And then I think from this point, we're just going to have to trust the Bears that they're going to know when to pull the trigger and to make them the starter.
It's not a bad thing, though, Adam, to have this competition. And I sort of like the way that Mike Glennon bounced back. I mean, all he's read and all he's heard, and if he watches TV and listens to radio, people were ready to take his job away after one preseason game, which is totally unfair. And like you said, a rookie quarterback is going to have peaks and valleys, but why can't they just have a competition? I'm in the minority here. I'd rather have Glennon start early because it makes Trubisky even more eager to try and put in time in the playbook. I think it's a win-win for both sides.
Well, I'll give the Bears credit, and this is what I wrote after the game last week in Arizona. It was just time for competition. Like, what did Mike Glennon ever do to earn an unquestioned starting role at the most important position on the team? There was nothing he did in Tampa, and there was nothing he had done since he got here. And after you saw what you saw in Arizona, I wasn't saying Trubisky should be named the starter right away. I was just saying he needs real competition. And so I give the Bears credit. They responded to that. It was obvious to everybody. And that's the thing about this regime that would make me optimistic. It's just what other people tend to see, they see too. You know, in the last regime with Phil Emery, it was like everybody could see that Shane McClellan was out of position. But they just kept running him out there. These guys seem to see what everyone else sees, and they respond to it. And so this week, they realized they had to push Glennon, and it also made sense. They had to see Trubisky get at least a little bit of time with the starters. Now, I would have liked to see him get even a little bit more than he did, but you know what? Take it for what it's worth, and I think that it had a positive impact on Mike Glennon this week in practice and in the game, and he responded. So that's a good sign, too. It cannot hurt the Bears to have two decent quarterbacks. I still want to see a lot more from Mike Glennon. I think it's going to be tough week one against the Falcons. If he indeed starts, and I think he will. But this was a positive step this week for both quarterbacks, I think.
Well, along those lines, yeah, okay, normally in the 4th preseason game, you don't give a lot of reps to your starters. You don't let your quarterback sit out
Mark
there.
Mark Sanchez, baby, woo!
But why? Mike Glennon hasn't earned the right to take the 4th preseason game off. Mitchell Trubisky needs the reps, too.
You almost called him Mitch.
Why would you treat it? Your preseason is your preseason. Treat it as such. Don't throw the game away on
Listen,
Thursday.
Real quick, Hogue. Can I get him real quick, Hogue? Please.
Yeah.
Because
so
this
you're
is
just going to say just it's two words: Cam Meredith.
Exactly, Cam Meredith. We're talking about we're going into the 4th preseason game where there are so many guys that are hungry that are trying to make this team, and they'll do anything to get their highlights on some reel so another team can see them. I do not leave my quarterbacks out there. Dude, Connor Shaw plays the entire game. Sorry. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't risk it. Guys get get jacked up trying to make plays, and that's how injuries happen. There's no way.
But football is football.
Exactly. So you got to preserve it as long as you can. And it doesn't make sense to be out there with like guys like myself who were just trying to make it in that last game and would run through a wall to do anything.
I would get it if he was, you know, Joe Montana. But I don't care if Mike Glennon gets hurt. Who cares? He's not doing anything for you. Who cares if he gets hurt?
I'll give you another reason. I think now there's only one practice between now and Thursday because it is a short week. But I think when we get out there on Tuesday, you're going to see two practices happening. You're going to see half the team preparing for the Atlanta Falcons, and you're going to see the other half preparing for the Cleveland Browns. And that's another thing. I think it's more important to start preparing for the Atlanta Falcons. At this point, you've seen what you've seen in the preseason. You pretty much know who's going to be on your 53. You at least know who's going to be at the top of your depth chart. That's a pretty tough opponent in week one, and I would do 2 weeks right now to start preparing for your first game. It's just the more important thing to do. I do get the argument that both Glennon and Trubisky could get some more reps, but I don't think that's going to be the case. And John Fox did hint after the game that Mark Sanchez is going to play on Thursday, get him some time. He has played hardly at all in the preseason. And then, I don't know if he plays a quarter or whatever it is, but then Connor Shaw probably plays most of this game.
Penalties are a killer. We all know that. Why can't Lamar Houston stay onsides? Like, what's his problem?
I don't know.
Like, three different times he jumped off sides. One of them was on fourth and one. He just jumped over the line.
Yeah, that fourth and one was a bad one. I think they're all bad, but that one especially. You can't have that happen, especially when you're a veteran. Now, he did make up for it later by getting a sack, strip, fumble. But I don't think his job's in jeopardy. I think he's safe, but that was not a good look for him today.
We talked about Cam Meredith, and that was not what you want to see as a Bears fan, but we've been talking earlier today just about Kevin White and what this means for, to speed up the process with him. Today you did see him make play, but you still want to see more out of him. How much does this rush him to jump into the position that really doesn't seem like he's probably ready for right now?
So I got on him a little bit, and some people on Twitter said it was unfair, but Mitch Trubisky threw that high ball, and it was a high pass. It was from a quarterback standpoint, not a good throw. But Kevin White was up there, and it still hit him in the hand. And it wasn't an easy catch. I'm not trying to say it is. But when you're the number 7th overall pick in the draft, those are the kinds of plays they're asking you to make. Not every throw in the world is perfect. And the great wide receivers go out there and make their quarterbacks look even better. There was a good sign, 19-yard catch from Mike Glennon early in the game, and that wasn't a perfect throw either. It was a little bit behind him, and he brought it in. That was a good sign to see. But, I'm still waiting for the guy who can go up and catch the football and make some tough catches. Maybe they'll come. I did talk to him after the game and asked him, speed things up for you. And he kind of just shrugged it off like, hey, all of us are going to have to pick it up. But let's not, let's be serious. Even with Cam Meredith on this team, you're hoping Kevin White would make a push and become the number one guy by the end of the year. Now he is the number one guy just by default. And he's going to have to play like it. And right now I'm a little skeptical whether or not that's going to happen. I do think today was a step forward, but it still was only two catches.
I wanted to kill him on that third down. I absolutely wanted to kill him. Here's Trubisky trying to make a move, and on third down, under pressure, he put it right on him. Jared Payton catches that football all day. That thing is at the U in the C.
Nine times out of ten, probably.
When you were a Titan, that thing's in your hand all day long. I feel like Mark Carmen catches that thing on a turkey bowl.
His son was rooting for the Titans today, too, by the way.
Yeah. My son was today.
Really?
Yeah. It just, he knew his dad played for the Titans. That's what matters most.
That's cool.
Yeah. Other than that, if they're not playing the Titans, then he's choosing the Bears. So he's not going to play football anyway, so it doesn't matter. Who cares?
I want to take this off the track if I can for 1 second, Hogue. You're going to write a Bears book one day, and I'm sure it'll be pretty damn good. I need the best Mark Trestman story. I know you've got one because the guy was such aloof.
Aloof. I've never even heard that term.
Mark Trestman's story.
I knew you threw him off with this one.
I know you got a couple. Maybe one that you could tell for radio.
Well, I'll just give the most memorable image that I have from the entire Mark Trestman era. And that was something, I don't think they showed this on TV because you kind of had to be zoomed out to see it. Maybe they did. But that game in Green Bay. So they lose to the Patriots. They go to the bye week. They spend 2 weeks preparing for the Packers, and then they're getting blown out 42-0 at halftime. Late in that first half, when it completely got out of hand, the game's already over, even though it's the second quarter. If you look down from the press box at Mark Trestman, there was not a single person on the entire sideline within 15 yards of him. I mean, it was, and those sidelines are pretty tight. Nobody was within 50. It was like, we're not associated with this guy. I mean, everyone was just, like, backing away. Like, coaches, other coaches, players, whatever. And it was just, like, the perfect snapshot of what had become. And that was the first night where, in my head, I said, yeah, they're going to have to seriously consider firing this guy. Because remember, at that time, no one really believed it was, you know, even a possibility. But when it got that out of hand and you start to see players respond like that, coaches on his coaching staff all back away like that, it was pretty telling.
Adam, great stuff. I can now officially feel like I have a connection with Mark Trestman. Just people backing away from me, leaving me alone.
Think about how far away we are from that, though.
That's the point. That's the point. This is a good thing. This is a good thing.
Thank you.
Don't have Mark Trestman.
This defense looks pretty darn good.
Yes,
like,
sir.
Legitimately top 10 NFL defense if they can stay healthy. And I got the special teams. That tackle Sherrick McManus had at the 4-yard line to set up a block punt.
Huge.
And it was nearly a touchdown.
Go Cats.
This is a lot different team in those areas. It's just going to be, I mean, really, this is going to be up to the offense this year and how well they can run the football probably. And one more thing. They can live with Mike Glennon in the first 4 weeks if he doesn't turn the football over. So he didn't do that today. That was the difference. But I'm not. That's, I guess, what my concern is when you start playing the Falcons, the Bucs, Steelers, Packers, first 4 weeks. Can he avoid turning the football over? That's going to be a key, and that's what I'm worried about.
Hoagie, great stuff.
Thanks, Hoags.
I know you missed the beginning of the show where I said that I gave up softball today to watch Bears preseason football, a championship game. Never question my determination to do the best show possible.
That I'm legitimately shocked by. But good for you.
Thank you. Travel safe, man. We'll see you back here.
See you guys.
Adam Hoag down in Tennessee. Bears beat the Titans 19-7. 2-1 in the preseason with an opportunity at home against the Browns on Thursday night to get to 3-1. When's the last time the Bears were 3-1 in the preseason?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Let us, we'll say goodbye to Jared coming back here, and then Sam and I are going to have an argument to start the 5 o'clock hour, 720 WGN. WGN, 456, thanks to Adam Hoag down in Tennessee. Lou Ferrigno coming up at 535, the Incredible Hulk, amongst many other things in his acting career. Jared Payton going to do Sports Feed in a matter of moments here. Cubs lost to the Phillies 6-3, lost 2 of 3 in the series. Went 3-3 against the Reds and Phillies this week and have lost 3 of their last 4 to Cincy and Philly. Coming home, start a 3-game set with the Pirates tomorrow and then 4 more with Atlanta at Wrigley. So a 7-game homestand before going back out on the road for 4 games in Pittsburgh. We are getting down to it in the baseball season. Not a good week for the Cubs. Not terrible, but not a good week.
I believe they're 16-16 in their last 32 games.
They've been going strong, though, right? I mean, they haven't had a day off since when?
Well, they had a day off on Tuesday. On Monday this week, but they're not going to have another one. They only have one more day off the rest of the season.
That's crazy.
So they're going to grind it to the end here. And
you got to stay healthy, too.
They need one more hot streak. One more hot streak would put the division away, but they need one more hot streak. Otherwise, if they're gonna do this, it's gonna go right down to the wire. And you know, not to be, everybody can read the schedule, but I'll do it here anyway. You still got to go to Milwaukee 4 times. You got to go to St. Louis 4 times.
Wow.
So, and that starts Thursday, September 21 to Thursday, September 28. 8 days in a row. 4 at the Brewers. 4 at the Cardinals. You don't want to be in a position where you actually, where those games, you don't have a nice solid edge going in there. Bottom line. All on the road. I don't think it's going to come down to that, but it very well may come down to that.
It could come down to that.
What's on the,
Sports Feed?
Yeah.
Come on now. Breaking down this Bears game. It's going to be heavy tonight. Then talk about some Sox and Cubs as well. And then I actually got to record something a little bit later for Instant Replay tonight, a little bit later on WGN.
What are you doing on Instant Replay?
I'll be on with Lauren Majera, just talking, breaking down the game. Come on, man. When it comes down to the Bears, I was driving into town. I said, this is where I make my bread at. I love the Bears.
Instant Replay's been on my DVR for probably 20 years straight now.
Yeah, you better keep it locked tonight. Sam Pan, Love you, man.
Good to see you always.
Good to see you as always, man.
Who's you know guy? I check people when they need to be checked.
He always does.
He just recapped Chicago sports again and left out Giolito 7 scoreless again. But it's okay. You know, it's fine.
You did. You did.
You literally breezed through the weekend in sports and left out a rookie going 7 shutout again.
Okay, so it's an inaccurate statement. I didn't even mention the Bears game in there.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
I'm almost positive you started with Bears and then you went into the Cubs. And
Dan?
Then...
Did I mention Bears there? I know you listened intently to the show.
No, I legitimately was not listening.
That's my guy.
Hey, that's honesty downtown right there. You Danny cannot Long. Teach honesty.
Dan Long has never said a dishonest word in his lifetime. I did not mention the Bears there. Text line will back me up on this. I was just saying goodbye to Jarrett and recapping the big news of the day, which is the Cubs got beat by the Phillies and lost 2-3 to the worst team in baseball.
Giolito. Sorry. Okay.
All right, fine.
Love you guys.
All right, well, Sam and I want to talk about old school baseball philosophy coming up here after the 5 o'clock news and what the Cubs did this week and how Joe Maddon can be better at his job.
Wait a minute. I know where you're going with this. Yeah, I'll fight you on this.
Great. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. You don't want to fight me on this. You want to jump on board and be a part of the team.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Sam Panionovich. Jared Payton off to do TV. Dan Long producing. I want to have a discussion. I've had this discussion before. I had it earlier this week on Sports Talk Live with David Kaplan, who was promoted to the moon by the Tribune today. Congratulations to Cap and Dan Weider with the piece of the real Cap. So congratulations to Cappy, our
slow sports week,
our former co-worker and good pal, my buddy.
It was very well written.
Getting the
very well written. And at the end, I will admit I did choke up at the end, which is the sign of a good story. And to have a good story, you have to have a good character. And that's certainly the case.
Incredibly well done. So best to the Cap man on everything that he's doing and getting the piece today in the Tribune. All right. Buddy, of course, was dead wrong when I was arguing with him this week, and that's nothing new. And then there was, and I was trying to convince David Haw, too. Nobody wants to listen to me about old school baseball and how we just do things the way we always do them. And this was the scenario. It was Tuesday night against the Cincinnati Reds. Cubs were in the ninth inning. They were up 13-6. Chris Bryant is scheduled to come to the plate. Chris Bryant is allowed to come to the plate and not replaced in the lineup. Joe Maddon allows Bryant to bat. And what happens? Fastball in on Bryant, clips him in the hand. And all of a sudden, all of Chicago, Cub fans at least, are holding their breath because Chris Bryant might have just broken his hand and could have been out for the rest of the regular season and maybe into the playoffs. And if you make it that far. And I'm sitting there at home on my couch saying, why in the world would you allow your best player to take an at-bat when the game is over? The game was, if you look at stats and you know, Stats Inc. and all that type of stuff that I've done a deep dive on here, you never lose a game where you're up 7 runs in the ninth inning. Felix Pena was pitching. He gave up 3 runs. They still won 13-9. The game is over. So why would you allow Bryant or Rizzo, one of those two, either of those guys, to take an at-bat when it could happen, very unlikely, but it could happen that they get hurt? In the NBA, you're up by 20, you take your players out. In the NFL, you're up by 30, your quarterback is on the bench. Baseball, for whatever reason, is just slow to adapt to a very basic concept. Protect your best players when the game is over. Do you want to argue with me on this, Sam? I don't even know if you do.
I mean, I don't know about argue with you. These are the most important players to this franchise. They are extremely popular. Kids go to games. When you go to the games, the most popular jerseys at the Cub games are Bryant and Rizzo. So they want to see these guys play every at-bat, every pitch. They want to see them take ground balls and make all the plays that they can. You can't put these guys in bubble wrap. That's my thing. When I come to the game, I want to see Chris Bryant hit 4 or 5 times because there's always that potential of, boom, a ball hitting the video board. So I am more of the ilk that I want to see Chris Bryant bat as much as possible. With your argument, I get where you're coming from, but at the same time, Chris Bryant could get hit in the first inning. He could get hit in the fourth inning. He could get hit in the seventh inning. So I don't know. I'm not going to start yanking guys out and put them in bubble wrap. I don't have a problem with Chris Bryant playing the whole way. I honestly, I know you well. I think you're just kind of warped from Derrick Rose. I think that has changed the way you view things.
But so like the Derrick Rose, first of all, like before Derrick got hurt, and they brought that up on the show too.
No, I mean, I know that's where you're coming from. That's because when they were up, what was it, 15 points against the Sixers.
They're up 20 against the Sixers. Why would you have – it's not Rose. I used to say with Phil Jackson and Doug Collins back in the day, they were playing Michael too many minutes. He'd be playing 42, 43 minutes a night. It was ridiculous. Now he's a superhuman, and he was able to withstand it, but you're running him into the ground. Tibbs ran a bunch of guys into the ground. You have to protect these guys. I'm not – and listen – and I've made this point before, too. The guys who are your 24th, 25th men on the roster, well, I expect them to have super dirty jerseys and to take all the at-bats where, if they do get hurt, well, you're easily replaceable. But the best players, if you've won the game, you know, why wouldn't they throw Wade Davis then? He pitches in the ninth inning. That's his spot.
Not a safe situation. That's a dumb argument.
Well, okay, but like you're
there's too much competition, though. These guys don't want to come out of games. I mean, Anthony Rizzo, example 1A. Anthony Rizzo, why is he at third base? Why did they move him to third base the other day?
That's another thing.
Okay, so if you're going to be upset about not having Chris Bryant taken out of the game, you better be pissed about them putting Anthony Rizzo at third base.
I don't think
he has no business playing third base ever.
Right. Well, I mean, the infield is.
No, he has no business ever playing third base. That's stupid.
But I don't think he's going to – I don't think it puts him in some huge injury situation. He gets a hot shot at first. He gets a hot shot at third. He's going to be fine. The Cubs are 58-1 when they go into the ninth with any lead, 58-1. They're 6-2 when they're tied. They're 4-55 when they're losing. In baseball this season, when entering the ninth inning with a lead, teams are 16 – this was going into yesterday – 16 – 1,641 and 87. They've won 95% of the time that you have a lead into the ninth. Any lead, one run, they win 95% of the time. So to be up seven, and Joe Maddon, like to me, is kind of a progressive guy, thinks outside the box.
You can't have guys afraid to get hurt, though, Carm. Baseball per game has the least amount of injuries in sports because it's not a contact sport. And there's the least amount of cutting. There's the least amount of activity. It's not like, you know, guys hurt their knees in baseball running the bases. I mean, in basketball, there are more injuries per game. You know, I know there's 162 games in baseball, so there are more injuries technically. But on a per game basis, baseball is the safest sport to play. These guys don't get hurt. And how many times do you see a guy take a fastball and break his hand? How many times did that happen in the last 50 years?
It happens, though, man. It happens.
But you can't live life in bubble wrap. You can't. Injuries are too random.
But it's just of course they're go. I'm not saying to call it a season and hope that you're in the playoffs, being up five games with 20 to go. They got to be out there. Okay, I get it. But when the game's over, the game's over. And take advantage of the fact that you blew him out.
But we're playing hypotheticals here. What if Joe Maddon takes Chris Bryant out? I'm going to take your ridiculousness and raise it up a notch. What if Chris Bryant, who has just been taken out of the game in the ninth inning, is standing on the face of the dugout and a line drive hits him in the helmet or something like that, hits him in the head? I mean,
come on.
I mean, this is dumb.
Okay, come on. You can't say like...
Well, yes, I can. No. If you can say, why does Chris Bryant play in a 7-run lead? What if he gets hurt being on the bench?
I'm not advocating for like that everybody's got to leave the dugout.
Well, I mean, that's the next level here. You're coddling Major League Baseball players who fans pay to come see.
Not a bad idea, actually, though, Sam. Maybe everybody should be in the clubhouse. It's safer in the clubhouse. There is the guard railing. There's that little window there where they could, take one on the old schnauzer. It's not a bad angle by you.
What if he takes one off the lip? You know, line drive, he's not paying attention. You know, the Cubs are up seven. He's spitting sunflower seeds, looking to the crowd, and pow.
312-981-7200. Does baseball need to get with the just get with the program, man? Keep your best players healthy. It's not rocket science. 773's texting in. Baseball, you can't put them back in. You can't coddle players.
Right.
Injuries are random. If you're so afraid, you might as well not play.
I mean, that's pretty much what I said.
But it is. But I just don't get it. It's not about being afraid. The game is over. It's just logical. But people want, like, there's a certain mentality out there. This is the way it's been. This is the way it always should be. That's how they do it. Let's not think anything different. It doesn't make sense.
If you're the Cubs here and you're trying to, I mean, sports is about branding and marketing and reeling in fans and reeling in money, essentially. That's what sports are. Sports are a business. If I'm a consumer and I'm a fan, in the ninth inning, I don't want to see Tommy La Stella batting.
Too bad.
Want to see Chris Bryant bat.
Too bad.
No, it's not too bad because Joe Maddon's going to leave in the best players.
No, see, nobody put a gun to your head and said go to the game, and nobody's saying, you know what, I'm not going to go buy a baseball ticket because Chris Bryant might not bat in the ninth.
But if Chris Bryant hits a ball off the video board, all of a sudden you have something you'll never forget. It's about memories, it's about creating experiences, and I get more bang for my buck when I see Chris Bryant than when I see Victor Caratini, who is on the way back to the minors, or he's already in the minors. I don't even know at this point. Oh, they sent him down when they got
Rene Rivera.
Yes, yeah. Rene Rivera.
Yeah.
Best player named Rene in baseball history.
I'm just trying to bring some rational thought to the game of baseball.
Look, if you want to talk about a change that, you know, should have happened this week, talk about not having Albert Almora in center field. On that ball that lands, that you know
that was a rough moment for Joe.
Almora probably gets to look. I mean, it's a silly thing to talk about Chris Bryant coming out of the game late. I mean, it's kind of silly in my opinion, and the fact that we've spent this much time on it, it's amazing. But in a one-run game, which every game is important, you're playing the Reds, a team that you should smother and suffocate, and you don't have your best defensive center fielder out in center field in a one-run game. That is an issue. That's a serious issue. And he puts Ian Happ out there, he leaves Ian Happ out there, and the ball gets down. Now, would Ian Happ have made the play if he had a better jump? Probably. Would Almora have made the play? We don't really know. But Maddon is so, I don't know. He does overmanage sometimes, and he does overthink things, and I think predictability isn't always where it should be. Sometimes he thinks he's the smartest cat in the room. Most times he's right. Sometimes he's really wrong.
That one was bizarre. It's very basic. Happ goes to left. Almora goes to center. Schwarber's out of the game. Done. It was a one-run game, 2-1 in the eighth.
Well, Joe's a planner. You know, he was looking ahead to the lineup. Well, the lefty, I wanted to have Schwarber in there to face the righty in case they took the lefty out. And it's like, okay, like, ifs and buts, candy and nuts, you know, like, you need to protect the lead. And to protect the lead, you should probably have your best defensive players on the field late in games.
I forget exactly who was at the plate and on that appearance, but that whoever it was had hit like two balls the entire season to left center field. So that he was positioned over towards right was Happ, and Almora would have been in the same spot. So would he have gotten there?
But Almora is a natural outfielder. He's played outfield his entire life. Ian Happ is predominantly an infielder.
Very true. I would have had Almora out there. 100%,
right.
100% agree.
And I've been consistent with that since the World Series when he made one of the greatest catches of his life in that World Series. And he made a bunch of great plays in the postseason for the Cubs.
Well, the play in right field that he made against the Giants in that series in Game 4 was ridiculous.
He covers more ground than Jason Hayward does because he has to cover more ground. Hayward only has X amount of feet to cover, where Almora has to go left, he has to go right, he has to go back. To play center field at the major league level is not an easy task. Now, Ian Happ has done an admirable job. He's been pretty decent, but late in games, the decision for me is easy. It needs to be Almora in center.
Cubs lost to the Phillies today 6-3. They're home with the Pirates tomorrow. Mike Montgomery starts tomorrow. John Lester. Well, the good news on the injury front is that you've got both Addison Russell going out on a rehab stint starting tomorrow. He's going to play at AAA. And Lester apparently is throwing tomorrow in a sim game. So they're getting healthy. I do worry that they're going to rush Lester back. Justin Grimm's also going to AAA for his rehab, too, if that excites anybody. I would not be somebody that would be excited about that. But for the record, that's happening as well.
The real conversation to talk about, if you're talking about the Cubs here, I think it's fascinating to me. This is the biggest decision they've had to make in the last couple of years. What do you do with Jake Arrieta at the end of the season? He has really ramped it up in the second half. He's been amazing. He was Cy Young caliber in 15. He was awesome in 16. Did he win the Cy Young in 16? Was that when he won the Cy Young, or did he win it in 15? I get him mixed up.
15.
He won in 15. Okay, so he won it in 15. He had an it was the start to the 16 season that he was unhittable. So it was the end of the 15 season when he threw that no-hitter in Los Angeles that carried him through 15. They lose to the Mets in the NLCS. He comes back even stronger to start 16. And now, with John Lackey set to retire, probably can't cut it anymore. Mike Montgomery is a fringe starter. You think he can be a depth piece. Jose Quintana hasn't been what they've imagined. I wonder if Theo and Jed are kicking the tires on possibly bringing Jake Arrieta back. 6 months ago, I would have said no way. Now, I'm not so sure.
Well, there's a price for sure where they bring him back. Like, I think they would do 4 years, $100 million for him.
It'll take more than that.
But it's going to take more.
It'll take more than that.
So
it'll be about 4 years. His market value is probably around,
I think it's more closer to 7 years.
Well, I don't think anybody's going to give him a 7-year deal. Then again, it is pitching and it is Major League Baseball. I mean, look, Gil Mesh at one point in time got 5 years and $55 million, and he was terrible. And that was 6 years ago.
I bet he gets at least 6 years and close to 30 a year.
Well, no, definitely right on the 30. But if you're Jake Arrieta, do you take 4 years and $120 million with a chance to win every year? Because this team is built to win now.
I think he's going to get every last dollar. That's my guess.
31 years old.
Yeah, so he could, I mean, he can get a 7-year deal. He very well might. As crazy as that is.
Especially if he finishes strong, too.
And if you watch him throwing right now, it looks to me, and I'm not a pitching coach, but it looks to me like he's just dropping down a little bit. And I do wonder about if that's got anything in relation to protecting himself throwing the ball, or he's altering because something's bothering him. Now, that's a pure, borderline absurd speculation, but he doesn't look exactly the same to me. Just putting that out there. Hey, John, welcome to WGN. Are you agreeing with me, John, about pulling players? Because that's what it says, and that makes me.
I am totally agreeing with you, and I'm glad that you brought this up because I had the exact same thought while I was watching the game, and in my thought process is like, you know, what happens to Chris Bryant? Because the guy, you know, he plays at 100 miles per hour. The guy. Let's say he hits a grounder and he's trying to run it out going to first and he pulls a hamstring and now he's out. I mean, to me, you know, all this is like in the ninth when you're blowing teams out, you're just bloating stats. I mean, you're going against garbage guys that are in the bullpen anyways because you're up so big. So what's the point of having your star players come up to bat when you've got a lead that huge other than bad things can go wrong.
It's simply because that's the way it's always been done. And people will argue, John, to your point, well, he wants to take his at-bat right there. Baseball's a game of numbers. Are we really prioritizing someone's numbers over the team? That's ridiculous.
Exactly. Exactly. And I would say the same thing about Rizzo. I mean, I wouldn't just put Brian in that category, and I don't think you are either. But
it's those two.
I would say the same about Rizzo. Yeah, those two guys make the team go. So you have to protect those guys to the best of your ability. I mean, as a manager, I think you have to.
Thank you, John. Appreciate you.
Thanks.
I mean, it bothers me. Why would you put him in that position? Come on, man. Protect the player from themselves. Of course he wants to take. Of course he wants to do the at bat. I get it. It doesn't make any sense. All right, quick timeout. 720 WGN. It's also the Monday Night Softball Championship tomorrow night. Sam Panionovich, Morton Grove. Going for it all, buddy.
I thought you guys had the championship today.
That was the Sunday League. Sunday championship today, Monday then tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
And then it's all over. No fall ball for me. Also going to New York on Wednesday for the U.S. Open.
Yep.
You got any New York recommendations for me? Any spots that you like? Like, I would tell you to go to a Levain's Cookie on the Upper West Side, a phenomenal cookie. I would tell you to go to a J.G. Melon's, greatest cheeseburger ever. No disrespect to anybody in Chicago, but in New York, J.G. Melon's phenomenal. You got anything that you love out of New York?
I was in New York end of June this year. Me and my best friend drove. He goes to NYU, so we drove from Chicago to New York. It took about 17 hours. Made the trip, and the first stop on the trip, because I've been wanting to go there my whole life, Rucker Park in Harlem.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Because I'm a basketball guy through and through. I used to play playground ball all the time. In fact, I finally hung up the playground shoes about 2 years ago. We played at Seward Park over on Orleans and like division over there for years. I love blacktop basketball, and I always wanted to go to Rucker Park because That's where Dr. J revolutionized the streetball game and drove by, got out of the car, walked around, took a couple of pictures. There wasn't a game going on, but just the history that was at Rucker Park, awesome. And that's in Harlem. Are you staying in Harlem or Brooklyn or wherever?
I am staying in Harlem.
Gotta go.
Yeah.
Gotta go.
Yeah,
don't go after dark, but you know, maybe go when the sun's up.
I hear Harlem's like super nice nowadays. My buddy who's been on the show, good old Nick Wright, congratulations to him at Fox Sports 1. His show starts with Chris Carter, I think a week from Tuesday on the 5th. And that's who I'm staying with, good old Nicky out there, and he lives in Harlem. So I'm going to be right at Rucker Park, baby.
You got to go. If you're a hoop head, you got to go to Rucker Park.
Can I hoop there?
You can hoop, yeah.
Would they allow me in a game?
You could bring a ball, yeah, unless there's a rec league thing going on or a pickup game. Yeah, you could go. There were...
Lug my 44-year-old bones out on Rucker
Park. And it's not
Park.
Just one court. I mean, there's the main court, and then there's a bunch of secondary courts. It's cool, man. I mean, the old footage of Dr. J, when people used to literally sit on fences and on building patios and in trees. To watch Dr. J play before he became an NBA star.
Well, Kobe's played there.
Durant's played there.
Durant's been there. I want to say Westbrook's been there, too. Doesn't matter. Ton of NBA guys have played there. Which, one quick NBA thing. I interviewed Roger Mason Jr. as the commissioner of the Big Three. Former Bull.
Played at Virginia?
Yeah, been around a bunch of places.
Played in San Antonio for a while?
Played in Miami. Told some Pat Riley stories. He's the commissioner of the Big Three. He has reached out to Michael through channels to get him to play next year, along with Kobe.
In the Big Three?
In the Big Three.
There's no... Okay, you don't want Chris Bryant to be in a baseball game to keep him healthy? Mike has no business being on a court. He would tear something in 5 seconds.
Doesn't matter. His career's over anyway. 54 years old.
Oh, no. You don't want to see... You want to see Michael Jordan carted off the basketball court at 54?
I would love to see MJ out there at 54 going Big Three, backing somebody down.
No. What's the point? What's the point?
It's
what do you have to prove?
For fun. It's just fun. Just one more time on the court. Give me a little Big Three action. .720 WGN. I don't think I've ever looked at a man that, on one hand, I'm more intimidated by, but also have like huge respect and like feel like there's just love in the studio. Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk. You look fantastic, Lou. I mean, look at you. You're keeping it real.
Thank you. And I'm just looking at this. These women came in. They brought this beautiful Hulk Incredible cake.
Yeah.
With the Hulk head and the bricks around. I mean, it's a great design. So. I'm trying not to eat it. Okay. How you doing?
So I'm doing great. Okay. Well, let's. I would call myself a fitness guy to a point, but I'm not a. I don't lift weights, Lou. I play tennis. I play basketball. I'll do a little yoga to try to stay flexible. So, to me, it's like amazing that anybody would ever want to lift like weights. Period. Like it just doesn't seem very fun to me, but yet you obviously had this big passion for it. How did that develop? How would you take somebody like myself and say, hey man, you'll actually really enjoy it, it'll feel good and your body will feel even better?
Well, you could always work out and it could be like a supplement to your training. Like for example, you're doing sports to strengthen the ligament and tendon, and then you would be able to not incur any injuries because it was strengthening the whole body, and you would perform better. And you'd be more flexible, more agile.
Mm-hmm. So you're motivating me here, Lou.
There you go.
That's what's going on.
That's right, baby.
All right, you're giving me the payoff.
Got it.
So you think I'll be that much better?
Of course. 25%
better. 25%
better. Yeah.
So what do I got to do? What's the plan?
Well, here's the perfect example. I trained Chuck Norris for many years. And he told me when I was training him, he was able to kick higher, move faster, and because of the weight training, working out. So the same goes for you.
How many days a week do I got to do the weight training?
Four.
4 days?
4 days.
All right, is that like a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday?
For 1 hour.
1 hour?
Yeah, intense, baby.
Intense. The whole thing, arms, legs, everything.
Yeah, you split the body parts and everything, and then you train properly. It should do you a world of good.
Okay, so you're a New York guy, and growing up, you loved the superheroes. So, and then you became one. Like, that doesn't happen, Lou. I just see, right? But did you have a vision of becoming, or did it just kind of sort of happen?
Well, I've had dreams because when I was a kid, I used to watch the Superman TV series, the original Superman with George Reeves. And because, you know, when you're with children, your child, you think they're real. I had dreams of I used to be different comics. I wanted to be Hercules. I wanted to be a movie star and everything. So all those dreams came true when I discovered bodybuilding and then got into competition. And then I did the movie Pumping Iron. Then after that, I began the whole series.
So how did you get noticed? And what was the... Was there a method to your madness, so to speak? Like, how did you go about, hey, I want to do this? But most bodybuilders, they don't end up, you know, in Hollywood being the Incredible Hulk.
Well, it's because of my drive, because of my determination. I'm a warrior. I'm a fighter. So when I want something, I go after it. And not anybody, you know, could go in show business, like, to be an actor. So I chose to do the series for 5 years because I did a lot of pantomime and acting without speaking. So I learned my craft. And I wanted to have longevity as an actor.
Okay. So I was a kid when the Hulk was the thing. And, I mean, I remember my cousin. I mean, he couldn't have loved you more. I mean, that was my era. I mean, you're aware? You got a smile on your face right now. Like, are you aware of the impact that you had on the kids of, you know, the... who were 10 years old in the early 80s.
Well, I'm aware more now, because especially when I do the convention, like this weekend, the Wizard Comic Con, I can see people come up, they tell me, we're talking about three decades of fan, yeah. And I hear all the wonderful stories they reminisce with me about that when they were young, how much they loved and they worshiped the Hulk.
Yeah, you're in town for Wizard World 2017.
That's right.
And, I mean, it's like the whole world's in the city here. It's a big deal. It keeps growing.
Well, they're expecting over 100,000 people.
Yeah. So, what's your role? What do you do when you're there? How does the weekend go for you?
I interact with the fan. Yeah. I enjoy talking to them, and then, you know, with my friend, and then, you know, we do the photo op, and then, you know, the fans like to come to the table. They share stories about themselves, especially my physicality. That was fun. It's all that personal connection.
What do people want to know the most? What question do you get more often than anything else?
They want to know about the makeup. They want to know about the stories I've done, about the different episodes, how much they have questions about it, my other film. So, a comic, they bring gloves. Women want me to sign their tattoo. Women crying and then, you know, hugging me. Everybody wants to hug me, so it's fun.
So you're telling me that women come up to you to this day and they just see you and start crying?
And they want to touch me. Yeah.
That's
a good thing. Better than them hating me and hitting me.
No, that's amazing. So I'm just looking at your team around here, like just imagining what that's like. You got all these beautiful women, or you know, coming up to you, and just that's not a bad way
to
live your life.
Well, the reason why they like it because they're looking at a real man.
Right.
I mean, I've got big gun. I'm a well-built guy. I'm a very masculine person, and I think a lot of people respect and admire that because we have too many boys here out here today.
Oh, my. Yes, we do. Yes,
you
we do.
I'm talking about courage, integrity, and character.
Yeah.
That's why when you work out with weights, it gives you character. And a lot of people come to the convention. Sometimes they say, I lost 100 pounds. I met you years ago. I lost 100 pounds to get motivated because they want to better themselves. That's important.
So how often do you work out now?
Almost every day. I do 40 minutes of cardio and 20 minutes of weight training.
And how old are you?
65.
You're 65.
Uh-huh.
You do 40 minutes of cardio.
Yeah.
Is that an elliptical? What do we got
elliptical,
going?
Elliptical, stationary bike, and sometimes a treadmill.
And sometimes it, so you actually, you do put the pressure on the knees and do a treadmill.
Yeah, not low impact.
Low impact.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't run anymore.
Okay, you don't. Okay. When did you stop running?
Oh, probably 20 years ago.
Okay. Okay.
I don't want to wear my joints out.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Because I love talking fitness. I mean, I love to play.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I want to be playing tennis when I'm 85. Knock on wood if I live that long.
It's important if you can work out, keep the ligament and tendons strong. So this way you can have a longer career.
Right. So are you a fan of the swimming? What do you think of the swim?
I think swim is great.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal because you're working the entire body. So if you could swim for like 20 minutes to a half hour, keep the heart rate, I think it's phenomenal.
Yeah. So that's – I do that. I do my 23-minute Michael Jordan swim workout. I do the – I go down with the side. I come back with the back. I go down with the side on the other side. And I do my little jumping jacks at the thing. Right? You like it?
Love it.
Do a little swing of the
old
hip. All right. I mean, this is like an endorsement that I need here, Lou. It means a lot to me to get it. I want to rewind back to what you said. They ask about the makeup. When you're talking to people, how long did that take?
What? 3.5 hours. And, you know, I had to wear the makeup 12 hours a day, and I had to be retouched. I was the first one on this set and the last one to leave.
12 hours a day you're in the makeup?
Sometimes 14, uh-huh.
And so what, are they spraying on you?
No. Back then, they did it by hand. They rub it in with the pancake makeup. Very uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So they're rubbing pancake makeup on you.
Yeah, you can't breathe. I mean, you close your pores. You feel hot. How to sit in front of an air conditioner all day with the bathrobe on in between the scene.
Wow.
Lonely.
Lonely.
Yeah. Sometimes you see the motorhome rocking. People, you know, getting pissed off just sitting there by myself. It's like a trapped animal.
Well, right, because people probably didn't want to come and talk to you because they knew.
Of course, they're scared. You know, with the wig on, the eyes, I would want to sit with myself walking in the motorhome. A long time ago, I did The Return of the Hulk.
Okay.
And this was like 7-8 years later, so my son came to the set with my wife. At the time, I think he was about 10 years old. So I answered the door. I was in makeup. He looked at me, closed the door, he ran across the street. So my wife said, "What's wrong?" He said, keep daddy in the motorhome and lock the door." It's scary.
Well, I mean, the Hulk was terrifying. There's how many pounds of makeup was on you? Like, what are we talking about here? Like, I guess you would never know that, but I don't know. Like, how many layers? And
well, you talk about four layers of makeup on the body, and the face had grease makeup, it had the forehead, nose appliance, plus they had the wig, and you had the eyes, you had the teeth. So it's extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah. And so then how what's that shower like afterwards? How long does it take to get clean?
I had a green shower in my motorhome, and big one, especially made because for the makeup. And sometimes I have to remove the makeup, like, say, 1:30 in the morning. So I had to get two makeup guys. And they have, like, on a mop, and they scrub my back down because I can't wash my back. So it wasn't fun. It was like an hour and a half to remove all the makeup.
And how many days a week would you shoot?
Probably 3 or 4, sometimes 5.
5 days a week?
One time I did 5 days a week.
And then how long would that go on for?
Oh, yeah, we would film every episode every 10 days. So in between, I'll try to squeeze and work out to maintain my physique.
Wow. Well, it was worth it, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. When I look back, it's just the best thing I've done.
That's your favorite, right? Being the Hulk?
Yeah, because, you know, like I said, I could do Gone with the Wind. I could do 10 Terminator movies, but everybody just loves the Hulk.
Yeah.
They just love it. And it's the most beloved comic character out there.
It's the truth. You loved Hercules, right? That was your guy?
Yeah.
And you got to play him, too, right?
Yeah, I did that after I finished the series in Rome, Italy. I wanted to play Hercules. I've done a few of those.
What was it about Hercules that kind of resonated with you?
What
was it about Hercules that resonated with you? What did you love about Hercules?
Power. I love the funny Hercules, the original Hercules. The fact that goes back in the days of the Romans, that the gladiator.
Yeah.
Like the gladiator kind of film. That's why I always liked that character. Because as a kid, I used to watch Steve Reeves. He was the original Hercules.
Yeah.
So someday I said, I want to play Hercules because Steve Reeves, like, the epitome of what a man should look like. That's one of the reasons why I got into bodybuilding, because when I went to the movies and see Steve Reeves, it made me realize that it's a real bodybuilder. It's not just in the magazine, for real.
Yeah. Did you know Superman at all? Did you know Christopher Reeves at all?
Of who?
Did you know Superman back in the day?
I never met Christopher Reeves.
Yeah, okay.
I wonder if you guys... Superman.
Yeah, he really was an incredible person.
Great.
Yeah. Okay, let's... I want to wrap up here. You're working for Donald. You're going to be the fit.
I'm hoping to be.
You're hoping to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to be the head if I'm hoping to be, because I know the cat's out of the bag and all the... publicity is out, but I just hope to keep my fingers crossed because I want to make America healthy again.
I mean, the man needs some good publicity. If he hires you, I think that'd be the best hire of the administration.
And I need to train him to get him a shirt.
Yeah, you do, right?
Cut back on his steak. He'd love to have a big steak all the time.
I thought he loved the fast food too. No,
I think so. Yeah,
he likes a big steak.
And especially with all the stress he's going through. So I think he's going to embark upon a good program. You know, to be fit.
Yeah, what would be the first move with Donald? How would you get him in shape? 71-year-old guy like that who probably hasn't worked out.
I'd take him to the gym.
Uh-huh.
Sit down with him. Have a serious talk. And then go from there.
What would be said in that talk, out of curiosity?
I don't know. I'll tell you later.
That might be an intimidating moment in time right there.
Well, we're certainly not going to go to North Korea. That's for sure. That guy needs to get in shape.
He does, too.
Building all those missiles.
Well, here, but before we go here, your advice to somebody who's listening right now, who's in their 60s, is probably, call it 40, 50 pounds over, and doesn't really know how to take step one and kind of feels like a lost
now
cause.
You're talking.
Yeah. How do you get that person? What would you say to, hey, like, there's a reason why you're listening to this interview right now. And
no, I would just tell them to go on a beginner's routine. Slowly get into it, because everybody gets the impression that when you work out, you have to do training for an hour, 2 hours. All about getting started slowly, and then you see results after 3 months. The beginning routine, maybe like a half hour, then build up to 45 minutes, a little walk and a little exercise thing, but take it slow. And also, the most important thing of all, change your eating habit and eat healthy.
What are you recommending in the diet?
Protein, like meat, fish, eggs, and vegetables. If you're vegan, then you deal with vegan. But mainly, you have to have protein every time you eat. And be careful with the carbohydrates and stay away from the high fats. And you want to really eat your calories but not drink your calories.
Yeah. Everyone's saying the sugar is the real...
Yeah, it is. Especially or the soda or the pop, yeah. Popcorn, or, you know, go to the movie theaters, eating candy. Instead of eating candy, not having fruit. That's a problem with these vending machines. A lot of people in this country, they just like sugar. There's so many people that eat carbohydrates that don't eat protein. The more carbs you eat, it's unhealthy. It's not good for the joint. You're lacking the vitamins and the minerals.
I love bread, Lou. I got to tell
That's
you.
That's okay. Well, look at you.
I got the turtle. I got a little turtle.
You don't have a weight problem. There's nothing wrong with bread.
Yeah, okay. All right. That makes me feel better, too.
You're askew. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Wizard World.
That's right.
Come out and see you this weekend.
Thank you.
I appreciate the time. It was awesome talking
to you.
Thank you. 720 WGN. It's my guy, Sweet Lou Ferrigno. The Incredible Hulk, Sam. Four layers of makeup caked on him. He had to sit there with the air conditioning on him. Wasn't easy being the Incredible Hulk.
I can imagine that. I did. I was kind of drifting in and out, and if somebody had just turned the dial on a 720 at the wrong moment, they would have heard you asking Lou Ferrigno about showering.
That's true.
Which would have been pretty awkward if you're driving along the Kennedy right now and you hear Mark Kermit asking the Hulk about showering.
Well, I needed to know how they got the makeup off of the Hulk. It's great to have Lou Ferrigno in studio. And yes, we did. I did talk to him a little bit earlier in the week.
How tall is he?
Tall. He's got to be at least 6'3". He's huge too. He's still.
Well, I saw the pictures, but the pictures don't do justice on height. Really, yeah, you don't get a gauge of how tall somebody really is unless you're next to them, and you were, you know, chair to chair with him doing the interview.
When the Hulk walks in, you're a little intimidated. It's the Hulk. You're Lou Ferrigno. You could break me in half.
But he's not even a young cat anymore.
No,
either.
He's 65.
Okay.
He could still break me in half, I promise you. Guys riding around, there's pictures of him out in L.A. on a bicycle just trying to show everybody how fit he is. His arm is the size of my leg.
He could probably pick up a car.
He might be able
by himself, even at 65.
Yeah. So, more importantly, as we keep you up to date on everything that's going on in sports, what did Lucas Giolito do today, Sam?
He threw 7 scoreless innings in his second start with the White Sox. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Anytime these young prospects come up and do something well, it's something to at least note. It's a footnote in the day of sports. The big story, of course, the Bears, a lot of good. Mike Glennon looked okay. Mitch Trubisky with a 45-yard touchdown bomb. The Cubs lose 2 out of 3 to the Phillies, the worst team in baseball. And then the White Sox is probably 3rd on that list. But anytime a young player in a rebuild comes up with expectations and does well, he pitched okay in his first start, just gave a couple home runs. But today, 7 innings, no runs, only 3 hits. That's a really strong start for a guy that they hope is a big-time part of the rotation in the future.
Brian Noonan's coming up in a moment here, so we'll do a little crosstalk with Brian as he did make his way all the way down to Carbondale for the Eclipse, because Brian Noonan is a superstar. And Always, he's been trolling me on the text line, too, so I look forward to having a deep conversation with Brian in a moment. But for 1 second, because you're an NBA guy, I'm an NBA guy, the Kyrie Irving trade.
What a mess.
Which is a total mess right now, because Isaiah Thomas, his hip is potentially in a situation where he might not be able to play, which is not a guy that you would trade for. So the Cavs might be able to get more out of the Celtics. I did not like the trade from a Boston standpoint. Why would you help out a team potentially in disarray like Cleveland and basically help fix their problem for them with Kyrie wanting out? But some are arguing that the best player in the deal is Kyrie, and you're giving up a guy in Isaiah Thomas who you weren't going to sign anyway, and Kyrie's young and he's a stud. I'm just curious who you thought won the deal.
Well, it's always tough to analyze a deal 3 days after it happens. You know, we have to see how these things play out. And if Isaiah Thomas, if the hip is okay, I think this trade makes Boston better right now, because usually in the NBA, whoever gets the best player wins the trade. Usually that's how it works, right? I mean, 7 times out of 10, whoever gets the best player usually wins. I could not believe Boston gave up that Brooklyn lottery pick, which, you know, could be a top one pick next year. Could be a top three pick next year. That was the kicker for me. But you're right. It does make LeBron stronger, and it makes his case to stay in Cleveland that much stronger.
And everyone's saying that he's going to leave. Well, if I'm LeBron and we do end up getting the number one overall pick, which, by the way, you could spin that pick for Boogie Cousins. You could. There's a lot. The Cavs could be very creative with that pick. Teams will want it. The Bulls would want that pick. Now, they don't have Jimmy Butler around anymore.
They don't have anybody Cleveland wants.
Right. So, but there's a lot of teams that would clearly want that pick, and you could add in a veteran that LeBron wants, and maybe you entice him to stay.
I don't know if you've noticed, LeBron's a pretty bad GM, though. I don't know if I want LeBron building my roster. He, you know, complained to the moon about them not paying Tristan Thompson. Then they paid Tristan Thompson all that money, and then he complained about not having enough help. Dude, you just gave Tristan Thompson a max contract. Like, it's your fault that you can't afford anybody else. LeBron is... I'm so sick of LeBron, man. When he wins, he wants to be in the spotlight and hold the trophy up and bark like a dog on national TV. But then when they lose, he doesn't have enough help. It's like, dude, pick a lane. Come on. He drives me nuts.
I feel you on most of that, but I would let LeBron be my GM to have LeBron on my team. Brian Noonan's coming right up, 720 WGN.